in Detroit and Toledo who feared they'd never build another American car. And today they can't build them fast enough because we reinvented a dying auto industry that's back on the top of the world.
Looking forward, the president favors keeping education and green energy programs, keeping Medicare like it is, and he wants the rich to pay more for that.
New jobs numbers out today, expecting 135,000 new jobs created in August. This is NBC News Radio. An earthquake in southwestern China has killed at least 24 people, and the state media says more than 20,000 homes have been damaged. Also, a 3.4 magnitude earthquake shook Los Angeles just after midnight Pacific time. It was centered in the Beverly Hills area west of downtown. France has decided to send direct aid to Syria's opposition. Rebels and activists say the amount, however, is so little that it is all but useless. And there may be no signature moment at this year's MTV Video Music Awards, but there was a signature sound. That's what makes you beautiful. One Direction, the hunky teen boy band, won three awards: Best Pop Video, Best New Artist, and Most Share-Worthy Video. Video of the Year went to Rihanna featuring Calvin Harris for We Found Love. Baby, you light up my world like nobody. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
We're fashion retailers,
wine wholesalers,
a surgical implant company.
We are mid-sized businesses.
We're working with IBM and their business partners
to fuel innovation and a new economy,
and to wield the influence that once belonged to only the largest enterprises.
Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
Let's build a smarter planet.
See how IBM and our business partners are helping to build the engines of a smarter planet at IBM.com/engines.
I like saving money. I mean, it's not like I have a purse stuffed with coupons or... Okay, I do. The other day, I went into Wells Fargo to get help with a car loan.
Good news. You qualify for our double discount promotion. Get double the interest rate discount we normally give on select new loans and lines of credit just for being a Wells Fargo checking package customer.
And the best part? I didn't even need a coupon.
Come to Wells Fargo to discuss how the double discount promotion can help with the interest rate on your new loan or line of credit. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Subject to credit qualification. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Equal housing lender.
The music business, the smartphone business, the tablet business. The newest business on which Apple has set its sights is Internet radio. Reports say Apple is working on a service that would compete with companies such as Pandora and iHeartRadio in a still small but growing industry. The New York Times says Apple's difference would be a system that sends streams of music customized to people's tastes. Select a favorite piece of music and you'll get a bunch more tracks that are similar. The track of Wall Street today could be determined by the big jobs report this morning. An hour before the opening bell, the Labor Department is predicted to say 125,000 new jobs were added to U.S. non-farm payrolls in August, with the unemployment rate holding at 8.3%. Right now, stock futures are up even after indexes hit multi-year highs yesterday. S&P futures up 5, NASDAQ futures gaining 8, Dow futures up 36. Asian markets rose 2 to almost 4% today. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
We're fashion retailers,
wine wholesalers,
a surgical implant company.
We are mid-sized businesses.
We're working with IBM and their business partners
to fuel innovation and a new economy,
and to wield the influence that once belonged to only the largest enterprises.
Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
Let's build a smarter planet.
See how IBM and our business partners are helping to build the engines of a smarter planet at IBM.com/engines.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
Ryan, technician with SafeLight Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With SafeLight, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight, or call 1-800-800-2727, or go to SafeLight.com.
In the nation, trees fall, traffic lights fail, ceilings come down, and brakes lock up. And when the you-know-what hits the fan, Nationwide Insurance hits the ground running. Because you're not just our first priority, you're our only priority. We put members first because we don't have shareholders. Call 1-877-NATIONWIDE today.
Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio, subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
How do we get a diagnosis?
What are the stages of the disease?
When someone in your life has Alzheimer's, not a day goes by that you don't have questions.
Do we need full-time care?
Are there any new treatments?
So many questions. Where do you start?
How will I pay for this?
Where can I get help?
Alzheimer's.gov, a reliable resource for information about Alzheimer's and related dementias.
What happens next?
Where can I find answers?
Alzheimer's.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of The Best Of First Shift with Tony Truppiano. I'm your host for the day, Jeff Radford, and on today's show, we're bringing you some of our favorite interviews Tony has done with the people making the news in and out of the state of Michigan. What you'll hear in this hour is the information we need to get out and share with the people, the facts, if you will, in a world of spin. Even though these interviews are taped and no one is actually in studio at the moment, you can still interact with the show on the First Shift with Tony Truppiano Facebook page and through Twitter at Tony Truppiano, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O, or even send up an email, tony@thetonyshow.org. Now, without further ado, let's start the show.
And no need to do a bunch of fluffy stuff. We've got lots of guests to bring in. Our first one is with us right now. Joining me now is actually somebody I've known for years. Bob Wiener is a National Democratic strategist. Many of you have read his op-eds. His background is vast. He worked in the Clinton White House as a senior aide to congressional staff, including our own John Conyers. He was one of the first people to openly criticize Ken Starr during the Monica Lewinsky Whitewater grand jury. Amongst so many other accolades, he is intimately involved in this convention, as he was in 2008, and I could go on and on and on, but I'd take up all of our time just introducing Bob Wiener, who joins us now. Bob, it's a pleasure to have you on First Shift this morning.
Tony, I'm totally honored to be your first guest, and you are the stalwart of national progressive thought, and I think it's fantastic that you're on in Detroit. And it's such a wonderful homecoming for me because, yes, John Conyers, who I worked for 6.5 years and still am very close to, I formed his leadership pack, in fact, since I left the White House, after I worked for him directly on as his communications director for his government operations committee. So it's a real pleasure to be with you, and congratulations on your being such a force in national talk radio.
Well, I, Bob, I certainly appreciate that. Listen, this is we were talking earlier in the show. There was some criticism about bringing this convention to a right-to-work state and in the South, and the chairwoman was on Fox News yesterday and talked about the importance of what she said, planting a flag in the South, letting them know that we're not going to give it up. I certainly have no problem with that. You, again, I said, are intimately involved in these conventions. Your thoughts on being in North Carolina this year?
Well, first of all, the Democratic Party has no peer, and you ain't going to compare them to the Republicans on workers' rights and Scott Walker and everything that the Republicans have done to destroy workers' rights. So the fact that we're here pushes the envelope. And that's the first thing. The second thing is that North Carolina is such a swing state, important state, that location means a lot in where you choose a convention. And we're thrilled to be here in North Carolina, where perhaps the message of the fact that the platform just came out, for example, and it shows that it's going to be voted on, but the draft is going to be voted on, that the Democrats are middle out and the Republicans are top down, which caused the crash. There's a fundamental difference in our parties. And the fact that we're having that message come out here with such great speakers coming tonight, Michelle Obama, Bill Clinton, then, of course, Barack Obama and others. But the fact that we're having this event here with all the publicity and the message that it makes, hopefully will turn the tide in North Carolina. And that was one of the decisions, candidly.
I think it was the proper decision, although you understand, I come from really the ground zero of organized labor.
Yeah.
There are some folks there that are actually protesting coming to this convention.
Would they not like to have the Democratic Party's message here in North Carolina? Maybe North Carolina can even improve its workers' laws because of the fact that we're here. I'm a believer in you push the envelope as far as you can and still win. That's what, a lot of people define progressive differently. They want to be out in the fringe and they want to, you know, protest, and that's fine. I respect that because the extreme left defines the middle that can get done. But I push the envelope as far as I can and still win, Tony. And the fact that we're here helps. It doesn't hurt.
Well, I don't disagree. The Republicans, I believe, Bob, failed last week we can look at polling numbers. They failed to make a case not only for their candidate, but for their party, in fact.
Oh, I was on Fox TV yesterday, and I said that, you know, Clint Eastwood talked about the empty chair. Romney's the empty suit. There is no specifics in his thing, and the reason is that he won't say that he'll cut seniors, he'll cut choice to women, that he'll do specific tax breaks for all the rich, and he'll make the middle pay for it, and as a result cut their student loans and cut food stamps and cut poverty programs, housing, education, make students pay for their own education and tell them parents. He won't put that out as his budget. But that's what his budget means to America. So there is nothing specific in his plan, and that's why he's the empty suit. I mean, I by the way, I happen to like the Clint Eastwood thing. I thought it was very funny.
Let me ask you just very quickly, what message do the Democrats need to send this week, and who are they sending it to? I mean, they don't really need to sell a message to their base. So what is this week, Bob Wiener, really about?
Well, I think there's a key constituency. One is seniors. I am dumbfounded, Tony, that seniors, by a slight majority, vote Republican. How can they vote Republican when you've got a party that wants to cut Medicare by $6,000 a person? That's what the CBO said the Ryan Romney plan would do in their supposed, quote-unquote, saving Medicare. I hope they don't take the propaganda and believe when Ryan says, we're protecting Medicare. Yeah, you're protecting Medicare for the very wealthy to get the benefits of what they can afford and stopping seniors from ever getting health care because you're voucherizing and privatizing. That's what they're doing. How can they do that when they want to privatize Social Security? Privatize it. Wall Street? It still isn't up to the equivalent in terms of inflation of where it was under Clinton. It isn't there. Even though the stock market has almost doubled under Obama since the crash that Bush left it in, it's still... So you're taking real food off the table from seniors if you put it into private accounts. That's what the Republicans want to do. They want to threaten the seniors' programs. They want to cut the safety net. I talked to James Roosevelt yesterday, the grandson of FDR, who said that Romney Ryan are emasculating the New Deal. He's so proud of the New Deal. Of course he would be. He's the grandson of FDR. And they are emasculating it, destroying Social Security, Medicare, and all the programs, the work programs, the jobs programs. So that's a message to seniors. How can you vote Republican when they are threatening you? And then Ryan Romney tried to say that they're only reducing the benefits for people under 55. That's great, too. Okay, everybody under 55, they're reducing your benefits, by the way. Read what he's really saying on that one. But number two, you think Granny doesn't want to protect Medicare for her grandson? That's crazy. And number three, it's even not true, because by repeal Obamacare on day one, what that means is make you pay that donut hole again, the between $2,500 and $4,500 that you now get free, will be getting free prescription drugs under Obama's national health bill and free lifetime care so they can't stop you when you have cancer from still getting health care because you're too sick. That's the way health insurance works now, but under the national health insurance plan. So think of all those things. Think of funding for your students. Think of, borrow money from your parents. Hey, parents, that's what the Romney wants you to do. By the way, you want to vote for him? Your kids are going to take your money instead of getting student loans paid for. By the way, we've dropped from first to about 25th in the world in college education.
Well, you know, I got criticized not long ago, Bob, because I said we have dropped from being number one in so many areas. And, of course, the conservatives in my audience pounced all over that. Of course, factually, I'm true, which brings me back to
Of course
facts.
You are. You know that we are 45th in the world in health, in life expectancy and infant mortality? That's why you need a national health insurance plan, because we pay the insurance companies for half the care that the other countries in the world get. It's a myth to say we have the best health care.
It is a myth. The Republican Party platform was nothing but a series of lies. Lies, lies, lies. In fact, that was the overriding theme out of Tampa. And nothing, of course, was more indicative of that than Paul Ryan's speech, which was offensive. I mean, to anybody that reads, it was offensive. The Medicare alone, just everything he had to say was not based in truth. The Janesville, Wisconsin plant, and I could go on and on and on. You know, one of my, and I don't think the Republicans.
No, my, I got your listeners will appreciate it. Chris Matthews is brilliant, but he, He missed a point during Ryan's speech. Did you see the feedback afterwards where he said he didn't talk about welfare reform? Yeah, he did. He did the lie. He did say the thing about that Obama would stop jobs for the welfare recipients. He just completely... But somehow Chris Matthews had his moment of disintegration there. And Rachel caught him on it and then played the clip.
Well, fortunately, we are paying attention. And we know that we do offer solutions, and we know that we were just talking about this week's all about moving forward.
Right.
We can't stop the progress that we've started, and we know that a Romney presidency will bring back Bush administration officials, which is revisionist history. So we already know what we're going to get if we get them.
That's right. They want to push back to Bush. And they won't allow Bush to speak at the convention because they're too embarrassed by him. How can they sort of have that both ways? And they won't have Palin. They're embarrassed by their greatest stars. And they don't bring them in. Instead, they have a guy who came in and had the worst television ratings in history for his convention speech. So, because he was so boring. So that's what they've got for a candidate on the surface, and underneath he's got policies that would take us right back to the crash, take us right back. By the way, I did an op-ed that showed the fundamental flaws in their policy. Under Democratic presidents, there's been a 5.5% GDP growth. Under Republican presidents who have the tax cuts for the rich philosophy and put the money into defense where it's really a vacuum, a 1.5% GDP growth. I had to point that out to the DNC, that those are the real numbers, and I graphed them and wrote the op-ed in the Miami Herald. That's the deal, Tony, is that if we get Mitt Romney, we go back to destroying the economy. The reality is that Democratic policies, the people programs, and the small breaks for businesses programs, where the Republicans want to say you're hurting small business, Obama's given 160 tax breaks to small business.
30.
We do the best job of helping the economy, helping seniors, helping women, and that's the difference between our parties.
All right, Bob Wiener, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Great to see you, and
I
hope to have you on soon.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310WDTW.
Joining me now is Christine Pelosi. She's a delegate actually from California, and she's going to talk to us about a variety of issues, Medicare, women's issues, vets. Yes, the last name is Pelosi, and yes, Nancy is her mother. But Christine, I can't, as one of the most profound activists in the Democratic Party, it's such a thrill to have you on the show today.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank
you. Oh, and she's losing her voice. She's losing her voice. Anyway. Anyway, well, again, welcome to the show. You know, this is, I don't know, how many conventions is this for you?
Since 1980, I've been to everyone.
Wow, okay, so nothing new. You know, there have been, I talked to Bob Wiener was on with me a little earlier, your friend, and we were talking about having the convention here in North Carolina. There's a little bit of controversy surrounding that, and the chairwoman and congresswoman, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, said, no, we're putting a flag down into the South, and we're letting them know that we're not conceding anything. They, of course, are the Republicans. We're not conceding anything. This is state Obama won, and this is a state that Obama can win again. But I think it's important that the Democrats stand in the South and say we're proud of the South, we're proud to be here, and this is one America.
That's right. We're proud of our entire country, and we're doing a lot of work, a lot of outreach with women. And I co-chair the Veterans and Military Families Council. And it's an amazing thing. We had over 600 people at our meeting yesterday. Veterans, Blue Star families, some Gold Star families, and people interested in organizing in that space, being ambassadors for the president, for Democrats in that national security arena. So we're very proud of the work that we're doing and very excited to make that positive case to voters in North Carolina and throughout the South and throughout the country.
But let's talk a little bit about the controversy, and I think it's legitimate controversy. Mitt Romney doesn't mention Afghanistan, doesn't mention the troops in his speech. They say, well, he had spoke to the veterans of foreign war or something the day before, and so he had done it in that speech. It's really not the same, Christine, is it?
It's absolutely not the same. You know, when William Kristol and Christine Pelosi both agreed that you need to mention the warriors and not just the war, you have a problem. For them to say this was our strategy, who has a strategy of forgetting veterans? You know, it's interesting. One Blue Star mom came up to me after my presentation, and she said, I'm so glad that you mentioned the Blue Star families. Were always forgotten. And that's just not rhetoric. There was a report that was put out last year by the Blue Star families, and they said 95% of Blue Star families, meaning people with a family member in active service,
right,
feel as though they are ignored and misunderstood by the general population. So there's an amazing civilian-military divide in our country, and we have to bridge it, and certainly all of our leaders have to. So I'm not as concerned about, oh, Romney missed to check the box. It's not a box to check.
Thank
you. It's a matter of saying, if you want to be for the 1%, be for the 1% who are the people on active duty serving our country in a volunteer or military.
Well, it's certainly a very prominent part of this convention will be women. They will be actually the centerpiece of this convention, beginning tonight with the First Lady, who I got a crush on her. I'm sorry. She's just so beautiful. She's
so
amazing.
Don't be sorry. She's fantastic.
She's amazing. I know you've met her many times. I can't imagine what a thrill that must be. I adore her. Everything about her, everything she represents, I just think she's great. But women will be a centerpiece of this convention, unlike the Republican convention, which made sure that they did what they had to do. They brought in, they paraded a couple women through and let them speak, Ann Romney being one of them, who I thought gave a very nice speech. I'll give her that. But I'm sorry. One of the things that I promised my audience I'd do last week was juxtapose her against Willard, and she did better. She was a much better speaker than her husband was. But that's not what this is about. This week is about making sure that we continue not to say what we're going to do for women, what we are doing for women, that they are an inclusive part of this party. They are an integral part of this party. This is nothing new for the Democrats, and we've been doing this for decades.
Well, and I think that's important. You can't just showcase people every few years. You have to really have policies that empower women. And so there are conservative women who've been elected, and more power to them, because the more women at the table from across the spectrum, the more legitimate the conversation. So I welcome the diversity in the Republican Party. I think it's great, and it's good for them. It's good for the good old boys to get a little shaken up.
No, I couldn't agree with that.
They've got to be shaken up across the board. So I give them all the credit in the world. Now let's get to the policy issues. Again, the First Lady, two very important issues, veterans and military families, and attacking childhood obesity. Let's move. She's going to get us all doing push-ups and jumping jacks before long.
Yeah, no, she has been great. You know, it's interesting as I continue to, really watch the different women. Of course, you know, your mother's got a historic designation, and always one. I'm sure you're very proud of that.
Absolutely, of course I am.
Yeah, you know, that's a historic designation. She continues to show brave leadership. We turned to her. I was fortunate enough to have lunch with her in Philadelphia when I ran for Congress back in 06. Our mutual friend Paul Equally made sure that we had met. But she continues to show just such amazing leadership. We don't look at Nancy Pelosi and say female leader. We look at her as our minority leader or as our speaker. She was so successful to transcend the label of female.
Well, I think that she always says, you can't go to do a job, you have to go make progress for other people. You can't just do a job. You make history, then you make progress and bring other people along. And that's what she's been very good at. Passing health care, passing, of course, groundbreaking legislation for veterans, raising the minimum wage, getting the jobs bill through, and passing the DREAM Act in the House. So we have a lot of big issues, jobs, immigration, Medicare, Social Security, health care, that are on the ballot. The character of our country is on the ballot, as she will tell voters tomorrow night in her convention speech. And it's very important that people remember there is a choice in this election. And, of course, our vision is the Democratic one and the one we hope everyone
chooses. Sure. Not to mention the fact that she's raised an amazing family.
You're so nice.
No, she has. I mean, she really has. And I think it's wonderful when people, you know, you don't often, she does, of course, talk about you, but she doesn't do it a lot. And if you go on YouTube and Google the stuff, she glows when she talks about her children. She absolutely glows. And so she's a mother. I mean, she's a mother first, 16. And you can tell that. It's just wonderful. Listen, we literally have a minute left. Christine Pelosi, I can't thank you enough for what you did for me in 2006 when I ran for Congress. You were so gracious of your time and of your support and of your belief in me. And so I don't know that I ever had a chance to thank you, so I want to do that now. If there's anything we could ever do for you on this show, you know we're here for you.
Thank you so much, and thanks for making the run. Because you ran. Other people won.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless you. Christine Pelosi, let's take a quick break.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
What a great media picture it made. Mitt Romney was at an Ohio rally, standing at a lectern with his white shirt sleeves rolled up in that common guy style he often adopts. The best visual, though, was a great-looking group of coal miners in overalls, work shirts, and hard hats gathered behind him. A sign on the lectern declared, "Coal Country Stands with Mitt." Well, actually, it's coal executives who really stand with Mitt, rich guys in suits. In fact, the miners in the photo seemed downright sour, frowning at the Republican as if they didn't really want to be there. It turns out they didn't. The sorry truth is that they were compelled by the corporate honchos of Murray Energy to be props at Romney's staged PR event. Yet, in twisted language that would make Orwell cringe, a Murray official later told WWVA Radio that while attendance at the Romney event was mandatory, no one was forced to attend. Huh? Okay, Murray didn't use cattle prods to herd them to the rally, but it did make workers pre-register to attend, and it was clear that anyone who did not sign up risked getting fired. That explains their glumness, but here's why so many miners practically glowered at the multimillionaire candidate. They were being docked a day's pay for the event. Yes, not only were workers compelled to be backdrops for a politician most don't support, but they were also forced to contribute their paychecks, money that Murray simply pocketed, presumably using some of it to finance Romney's hokey rally. Well, sniffed a top Murray boss condescendingly, the event, quote, was in the best interest of anyone that's related to the coal industry, so workers should have been happy to donate a day's pay. This is Jim Hightower saying that's a cold corporate attitude that would cause Romney, the pain from Bane, to smile warmly.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-502.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting
for you now.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Well, my next guest is Deb Kosakowski. Deb is the Massachusetts Democratic State Committee Vice Chair and also serves as the Vice President to the Association of State Democratic Chairs, and we'll find out what all that means. A 35-year veteran of grassroots politics, Deb is a former educator, currently an independent business and technical writer, and a rural policy advocate, amongst many other things. She is also a member of the UAW, as she told me just a few minutes ago, to talk about the diversity of the UAW. I was adopted by UAW Deb Local 174 in the Detroit area, which is Walter Reuther's local. So anyway, let me turn her mic on. We welcome you, Deb Kosakowski, to First Shift. It's a pleasure to have you on today.
It's a pleasure to be here. And as we say at the UAW, we did it for Walter.
We did it, absolutely, yeah. It's really neat. We have, of course, we have some very historic locals in the Detroit area. One of them is UAW Local 600, which has this amazing wall that it's like a museum, a visual museum, and it goes on and on and on and on for the entire, both sides of the entire building, which is quite large. And I was blessed when I was there for a seminar not long. There was a retiree there that understood the history of every single picture, and she walked me through every picture and what it meant and what it represented. And I was moved. I was emotionally moved by this journey that I took with her, and I will never forget that. Anyway, that's not why we've got you here today. Welcome.
Hey, it's interesting information.
Yeah, it is interesting.
I haven't been there, but I am a graduate of Black Lake.
We actually just did our show from Black Lake about 2 months ago.
They have televisions now.
They do have televisions now. Yes, they do. And not good televisions, but they have televisions.
Well, it's a step up, you know.
It is a step up. That's actually a beautiful place. Anybody that's ever, of course, been to Black Lake knows that. Let's for a minute talk about your title, the Massachusetts Democratic State Committee Vice Chair. What is that designation?
Well, we have a chair and we have a vice chair.
Okay, oh, smarty, thanks.
We do what we have to do. We represent the party. We coordinate in our own regions. I'm from Western Massachusetts, and we try to have some regional diversity at our executive level. And we do everything that everybody does in politics. We make phone calls. We get out the troops. We message. We talk to people like you.
How do you, because that's a part-time job, right? That's a full-time job on top of running your own business. And
that's
again,
a full-time volunteer position.
Thank you. Okay, so then I said, your other title is Vice President of the Association of State Democratic Chairs. So, geez, in your free time, you do what?
I work to pay the bills.
You work to pay the bills. All right. So you're when you say grassroots, you mean grassroots.
I mean grassroots.
Well, I had said to Deb before we got on the air, and my audience has heard me say this before, I'm an activist with a microphone, not a journalist. He's, oh, good, my favorite type. Let's talk about the historic significance. A lot of attention is being placed on young people and women in this particular convention. Of course, I would actually say tonight's convention is all about women, as it should be. But the Democratic Party, as I was talking to Christine Pelosi earlier this morning, the Democratic Party has never, in modern times anyway, ignored the importance of women in the party. How important is tonight to the party and to the country?
You know, any night of a convention, whether it's which side of the aisle you sit on, is important, because if you make a major gaffe the way the Republicans did with Paul Ryan's less than truthful speech, how many Pinocchios did he get for that speech? And that didn't come from me or an activist who has a vested interest. That came from impartial journalists. The very next day, they were all over the place. You're not going to see that here. You're going to see honesty and truth, because we don't know how to do anything else in the Democratic Party.
Oh, I would agree with that.
And as far as women in general, you know, when our kids lie to us, we don't like it. When Republicans lie to us, we don't like it either.
You know, there was a candidate that was running for Congress in Michigan who had a great line that I loved. And she said, when women are at the table, it changes the conversation.
That's absolutely true. And another great cliched line that I like it anyway is, if you're not at the table, you're on the table.
Okay.
So women are invited to be at the table at the Democratic Party and not just cooking and cleaning.
Yes. Well, I married the right woman, I'll tell you.
Good.
I married the right woman. I truly did. I am blessed in that regard. When we think about, you know, and it's interesting, and when we think about the challenges that we're facing today. You of course have heard the war on women line. I mean, it's real, and it's unfortunate what Todd Akin did just two short weeks ago. The way the Republican Party reacted to it, the way the country has reacted to it, which is just one in a series of examples. Fox News makes a joke the other day that when Sandra Fluck is speaking tonight. They're going to drop filled condoms instead of balloons. I mean, but yet the Republicans claim there is no war on women. I don't think it's an imagined war, Deb. I really don't.
I think it's a war on humanity. It's not just
man.
On women.
Great
I'll
line.
I'll go that farther.
Yeah, that's a great line. It is a war on humanity. And it's not just about it being insensitive. It's about being wrong. I mean, it's just not where the country needs to be right now.
Well, I mean, it depends on where you want the road to take you. The Republicans are very clear on where they want the road to take them, and they want to take them all the way to the bank with their rich friends. There's no room on their train for the middle class. They would just as soon destroy the middle class and have a subclass of workers that they can exploit. And that's just the truth of it. It's a business decision. It's not a policy decision in the true sense of policy. It's a business decision. It's not a people-centered decision. This country was founded on protecting people. This country was founded on not having our citizens be abused over 200 years ago by a monarchy from across the sea. Well, the Republicans would like to see a monarchy in D.C., and we're not ready to have that happen, so we're going to fight to the bottom.
Well, I would hope we're never ready to have that happen.
Well, you know, some people are, but they're usually people who make a lot more money than I do.
Yeah, you're right. too many zeros that I can't even comprehend. Deb Kozakowski, again, is my guest, and I have to tell you, you exude an energy, a confidence, a charisma that is really refreshing. I can see why, but I got to ask. Let's go 35 years. So you don't look like you're old enough to have been involved in politics for 35 years. How did you first get engaged?
Well, to be honest with you, I've been involved in institutional politics 60. For 35 years. I am 57 years old. So do the math.
Wow.
I was young, but I was even younger at the age of 14. You know, I live in a college town, all girls college, two streets away from my house. And they were going up to New Hampshire during a primary, and I believe it was for Eugene McCarthy in 1968.
Can I ask you to hold that thought and come back after
sure
the break?
Sure can.
Deb Kozakowski is going to stay with us. We're going to take a very quick break, folks. We are live at the Time Warner Cable Arena here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I am Tony Trupiano. 30. I'm having fun, Deb. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally.
It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
And my guest, Deb Kozakowski, who is the Massachusetts Democratic State Committee Vice Chair and also the Vice President of the Association of State Grand Democratic Chairs. We've got to finish your story about your original activism because you finished it off the air, but then I need to ask you about that second title, what that involves.
Sure. I hopped on the bus with the college girls who were heading up to New Hampshire to do some primary, 14 years old. I got back about 11 o'clock at night. There were no cell phones back then. I didn't check in. My mother was out of her mind. We've been worried about you all day. You're grounded for the rest of your life. My father said, Marion, leave her alone. She's just doing what I do, going door to door. My dad was a local activist.
That's great. And it hasn't stopped since.
It hasn't stopped since.
All right, so tell us about being the vice president of the Association of State Democratic Chairs, because that sounds like a big job.
Well, there's four of us. They're regional vice chairs.
Okay.
So I'm the Northeast vice chair. I mean, vice president, sorry. I get confused between chair and president. You know, we don't have too many titles. I basically represent the Northeast region at the executive board, make sure that we get our fair share in terms of meeting locations. You know, one of the big things you'd like to do is have a geographical diversity of where you have your meetings, because it's a press opportunity, it's a goodwill opportunity to involve local Democrats in these different communities where you hold your hearings and your meetings. So I advocate for the Northeast region to make sure that they get paid attention to. We have a number of policy issues. All sorts of things happen.
Okay. You know, it obviously it's interesting. I was telling you during one of the breaks, I was getting a haircut yesterday, ran into a guy named Jim. We're going to find out if it's the Jim you know. But I said, how did Mitt Romney happen? He says, well, we actually have a very rich tradition of electing Republican governors and Democrat everything else. So how does that happen?
Well, a Republican something and Democrat everything else. I mean, we've had Republican United States senators while we had Democratic governors, and we've had Republican governors while we've had Democratic senators, and it really does. The only thing that stays pretty solid is our state house and state senate is solid Democrat. I think we have 36 Republicans out of 140 in the House, and I think we have 6 senators out of 40 in the Senate. So that stays pretty solid. But, you know, Mitt Romney came along at a time when we were on a roll with Republican governors. But, you know, I have a great story about Mitt Romney that'll maybe help people understand what the guy is really like. Back in 2006, he wasn't running for re-election, and we had what we call the Great Pumpkin Massacre. Well, out in Western Mass, where I come from, we're pretty agricultural and rural in nature, and we had a big hurricane that came in, and we had a mobile home park, which a lot of elderly folks live in mobile home parks, sure. And that got washed into the Connecticut River. It's pretty wide. Mark Twain liked it very much, so you know it was a big river. And I tell you, he sent the National Guard to New Hampshire instead of Western Mass.
Okay.
Yeah. That was
smart guy.
Well, he was running for president in 08. He was trying to make a good impression on somebody else.
Yeah, well, did it work?
Apparently not.
Yeah, well, there we go.
It took a few years for them to forget, you know, because what he forgot was a lot of those pumpkins were headed to New Hampshire for the Keene, New Hampshire Great Pumpkin Festival.
Wow.
You know, that stuff matters. All you say local. That, but that stuff, it is all things local, and that stuff matters. You know, I find it fascinating. I got to tell you, and this was probably more the last election than this election, because I go, and although I'm a hardcore liberal Democrat, I mean, I am a disgustingly liberal Democrat.
There's no such thing as a disgustingly liberal Democrat.
Thank you, and I'm loving even more, Deborah. But, you know, I do keep an open mind to candidates. So when primary season comes around, I like to kind of play the game with the Republicans. So the last time around, you know, I used to do some consulting work, and there was the company was owned by a Mormon family, and I loved this group. I mean, they were just wonderful people. But, you know, I'm going to keep an open mind about this guy. I just can't find anything that I liked about him. I don't like his charisma. I don't like his personality.
No,
he doesn't have any.
There you go.
There's just, to me, there's nothing to like about him. And I feel bad for Republicans, as I keep telling this audience. That's your choice. I understand why you must be frustrated. You got to live with that.
Well, we lived with it for 4 years. But I'll tell you, something good about him. He appears to really love his family.
Yes, he does.
So we'll you know, you got to give credit where credit is due. I don't know that he's a bad person, but he's certainly not the same person every single day.
No, we you're right. Just
he's a
wait
chameleon.
A day.
He's a, yeah, wait a day, wait an hour. He's a right. chameleon.
Well, you have this saying in Michigan: if you don't like the weather, wait a couple hours and it'll change. You know, and that's kind of like Mitt Romney.
It absolutely. And you know what? It's really too bad. You're better off being true to yourself and true to what you really believe. I question what the man believes in, if anything.
Well, I don't know that he knows what he believes in. And it's interesting because the Republican Party is really in search of an identity right now. And so I don't envy the guy. He doesn't know if he should be a Tea Party guy one day or a traditional Republican. Although he's never been a traditional Republican. That I can safely say. He's never been in a throwback Republican. And I don't know if I want to go back to the Reagan era. But don't you find it fascinating as we look to the Republican convention last week? They don't mention George Bush. They don't mention Dick Cheney. They don't mention anybody from the last administration. And the only person that they invite is Condoleezza Rice. They don't have Sarah Palin speak. They don't have Michelle Bachmann speak. They don't have Newt Gingrich speak. I mean, they literally ignored their entire primary field. I just don't think they know who they are right now.
Well, let me tell you, I don't believe that Newt Gingrich, although he, in policy-wise, never mind all the other baggage he's got, I think he's closer to the traditional Republican that you're talking
yes.
about. But Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin, they don't represent the traditional Republican Party. I don't know what planet these people came from. In Massachusetts, we have a long-standing tradition of what we call the old Yankee right. They are, and you know, Mitt Romney did fit that mold in terms of his policy proposals and his social agenda. The guy was pro-choice. The guy was pro-marriage equality. He was in a very different place when he was running in Massachusetts. That's my point. Here we are, you know, 6 years later, and he's suddenly a whole different person.
If you were to send a message to my audience today about what you want them to get out of this week, I mean, you've worked hard to get here this week. I mean, you've done a lot of work. You put in
a lot
of time. I know you have. What do you want the country, what do you want Detroit to get out of this week's convention, Deb?
What I want Detroit to get out of this convention is, you know what the truth is, you've lived it, you watched your industry in your state nearly go bankrupt, and this administration kept Detroit and Michigan alive. And that's a reason enough to vote for somebody who threw you the lifeline. There's
yeah.
a lot of reasons, but for Michigan particularly, the lifeline got thrown out there, you grabbed onto it, and you guys floated to the top, and you're still breathing.
Oh, and we're grateful. I tell you, we're grateful.
I've been to Detroit since. It's a different place than I was there 4 years ago.
Yeah, it really is. And it is for us that live there. I mean, you know, I live there. These are my neighbors, my friends, my family members that lost those jobs, that lost those homes, that lost hope. And it's coming back, and it's coming back in a big way. And, of course, we are incredibly grateful to Bob King and his leadership team for understanding the sacrifice that had to be made in that last collective bargaining deal that not only saved jobs, but brought jobs back from Mexico.
Exactly.
I mean, that's not an easy negotiation. People don't understand how difficult a negotiation that is.
I'll tell you, I think the Michigan story is the American story. And Barack Obama was there and supportive, and I don't believe that any Republican president, I mean, Mitt Romney said, let him go bankrupt. Let him go bankrupt? That would have been devastating for your state. So I really feel like Michigan is a good, strong story to spread to the rest of the country in order to let them know what it is. Massachusetts, I'll go back to Massachusetts again, sorry. We had, and you'll be hearing from some of the folks that were displaced from Bain Capital at this convention this week. And I know those people. I live in Chicopee, Massachusetts, and one of the plants that went down was in Holyoke, Massachusetts, right across the river. These were my friends and my neighbors, people who lived in my neighborhood, who lost their job for no good reason but corporate greed. And that's not the qualities that this nation was founded on. I want to talk tradition. Tradition is in banding together for something better down the road.
Yeah, it's actually sinful what Mitt Romney did as the captain of Bain.
Absolutely, and to what disown they the responsibility.
Yeah.
I wasn't there when the paperwork says otherwise.
Well, I read a fascinating article in the Washington Post yesterday, the New York Times, a very long article about his severance package that continued to pay him, is continuing to pay him. So isn't he technically still a part of Bain if he's continuing to get paid?
Well,
and it's not just his severance package. It's based on the business that he brought in originally. So he's still being compensated for that. I'm sorry, that's called still working there.
Well, apparently he thinks there's a difference between accepting a salary and working for that salary. But you're not going to tell me that he doesn't have an opinion and that people don't listen to him.
Well, okay, fair enough. But I don't know. My frustration, as I know that there are people in my audience. You talked about Let Detroit Go Bankrupt, which he tried to, when the day that Mitt Romney tried to say, well, that's because President Obama finally took my advice.
When he
said that, I can't tell you how my audience was outraged. But I still get, and I'll get them today. People will write me and say, how can anybody, people listen to us from all over the country on the internet, and they'll say, how can anybody in your state vote for Mitt Romney after what he said? I can't answer that question, except if you are that one issue voter,
60.
And that makes you a Republican, then you don't have a choice, I guess. I don't know. Deb, we're out of time. I want to thank you so much. Thanks for the extra time. I just loved it. I hope I see you around.
I hope so, too.
This is great. Thank you so much.
Lifelong friendships were formed over smaller than a radio show.
That, absolutely. Let's hope that that's true with us. Congratulations.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
That will wrap it up for now on the Best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Remember, we're always interacting on Facebook on the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page. Add a like, tell a friend, grow the community today. Also on Twitter at Tony Trupiano, TonyTrupiano. And, of course, email if you still use it. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone still uses email. Tony@thetonyshow.org. Thanks to everyone who appreciates and supports the show. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Jeff Radford, and I hope you enjoyed this hour of the show. Now, stay tuned for the latest news brought to you by NBC News.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story of how SelectQuote goes to bat for you buying term life insurance. A while back, a man called me who had had prostate cancer. He asked if I could beat a very high quote another life insurance agent had given him. I said, let me see. Well, I took his pertinent information, then shopped the highly rated, price-competitive companies we represent, and found one who pre-approved him for a premium way below what he had been quoted. When it comes to term life insurance, no other company touches SelectQuote's experience and expertise in finding the right policy at the right price for almost anyone. How about you?
For your free quote, call 1-800-400-4216. That's 1-800-400-4216. 1-800-400-4216. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save.
Hello, it's your boy, 50 Cent. Do you ever feel like you're just not yourself? Like, usually your voice has those deep tones that make the girls get all crazy, but now you just sound like some dorky little dude? Like yesterday you were taking shorties to the candy shop, and now you barely have the energy to get to the corner store? Sometimes I really need a boost to be my best.
That's why I created SK Energy Shots. No jitters, no crash. Just a smooth rush of energy that tastes great. So you can be yourself.
New SK Energy Shots. Powerful, pure energy. Available at GNC, CVS, and your local retailer.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. President Obama accepting the Democratic nomination for a second term, pressing his plan for a U.S. resurgence.
New jobs, more opportunity, and rebuild this economy on a stronger foundation. That's what we can do in the next 4 years, and that is why I am running for a second term as President of the United States.
He calls his race against Mitt Romney the clearest choice of any time in a generation, telling the party faithful in Charlotte, don't turn back. With the conventions over, the candidates are on the road again, shadowing each other today in New Hampshire and Iowa. Wall Street coming off a bullish day, rising to levels not seen in nearly 5 years. The Dow up 244 points on encouraging news about a European debt plan. And it's hard to stop smoking, no buts about it. But a new study says smokers who use prescription drugs or nicotine patches have a better chance than those who go it alone, in part because they're spending money to kick the habit. This is NBC News Radio. The August unemployment report coming out this morning, and according to a private estimate by ADP, hiring was up sharply last month. CNBC's Becky Quick.
ADP nailed the numbers last month in terms of what to expect from the government. People saying we'd only been looking for 125,000 when we get that monthly government jobs report. If ADP is a true indicator of that, you could see a much stronger number.
Another super payday for the Super Bowl. CBS says ads for the big game are already 90% sold out. The cost of a 30-second slot, $3.8 million. Rihanna among the big winners at the MTV Awards last night. The pop star's hit We Found Love picked up the evening's highest honor, Video of the Year. And bigger is better when it comes to smartphones. Surveys show most iPhone fans want a bigger screen on the iPhone 5, which Apple is expected to unveil in a highly touted event next week. Of course, they also want a stronger battery, better speakers, and faster internet. More colors, too. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the certified pre-owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services limited-term financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10-1-12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just partway. We go full throttle. We don't just sell oil and say, hooray. Oh, no. We work to bring you deals on oil. And then we say, hooray.
Slow and cool-like.
Right now at Advance, get a 5-plus quart jug of Pennzoil conventional motor oil with filter for just $20.99. Wait for it. Hooray. A Pennzoil oil change special, just $20.99. Only at Advance. Service is our best part.
At Advance Auto Parts.
See store for details.
Apple is looking for another industry to conquer. Reports say the company is negotiating with record labels in hopes of starting a web music radio service to compete with the likes of Pandora and iHeartRadio. Apple's service likely would be offered as an app available on the iPhone and iPad and probably would include commercials. Wall Street's rally Thursday placed the indexes at their best levels in years. The Dow and S&P 500, the best since late 2007. NASDAQ, the best since late 2000. As investors all over the world celebrate the European Central Bank's aggressive bond buying program to help ease the debt crisis. But an hour before Wall Street's opening bell, the attention of most U.S. investors will turn domestic again as the Labor Department issues its reading of August job creation and unemployment. Gains are expected for job creation for August, but weaker than in July. Right now, S&P futures gaining 6 points, NASDAQ futures up 10. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
We're fashion retailers.
Wine wholesalers.
A surgical implant company.
We are mid-sized businesses.
We're working with IBM and their business partners.
To fuel innovation and a new economy.
And to wield the influence that once belonged to only the largest enterprises.
Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
Let's build a smarter planet.
See how IBM and our business partners are helping to build the engines of a smarter planet at IBM.com/engines.
Safelite Repair, Safelite Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safelite Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safelite, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight or call 1-800-800-2727 or go to safelight.com.
We're fashion retailers.
Wine wholesalers.
A surgical implant company.
We are mid-sized businesses.
We're working with IBM and their business partners to fuel innovation and a new economy.
And to wield the influence that once belonged to only the largest enterprises.
Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
Let's build a smarter planet.
See how IBM and our business partners are helping to build the engines of a smarter planet at IBM.com/engines.
I like saving money. I mean, it's not like I have a purse stuffed with coupons or... Okay, I do. The other day, I went into Wells Fargo to get help with a car loan.
Good news. You qualify for our double discount promotion. Get double the interest rate discount we normally give on select new loans and lines of credit just for being a Wells Fargo checking package customer.
And the best part? I didn't even need a coupon.
Come to Wells Fargo to discuss how the double discount promotion can help with the interest rate on your new loan or line of credit. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Subject to credit quality.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of The Best Of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. I'm your host for the day, Jeff Radford, and on today's show, we're bringing you some of our favorite interviews Tony has done with the people making the news in and out of the state of Michigan. What you'll hear in this hour is the information we need to get out and share with the people, the facts, if you will, in a world of spin. Even though these interviews are taped and no one is actually in studio at the moment, you can still interact with the show on the First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page and through Twitter at Tony Trupiano, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O, or even send him an email, tony@thetonyshow.org. Now, without further ado, let's start the show.
I live in North Carolina at the Democratic National Convention. My next guest, I've actually been chatting with during the break, is Zach Carroll. Zach actually tweeted he was going to be blabbing with me. I want to know what we're going to blab about. Zach, we'll get to that in just a moment. Zach is one of the youngest delegates from Illinois at the convention. He is also the president of the Young Democrats of DuPage. It is DuPage County in Illinois. And Zach Carroll, I want to welcome you to First Shift this morning. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Pleasure being here.
Young vote. There's a lot. There has been a lot of emphasis from the DNC put on young vote. I've been talking about this a lot today. In fact, I have, I'll bet you, five guests over the 3 days that represent young voters. Young, you know, young this, young that, the young Democrats of it. Why do you think that the Democrats are making such an extraordinary effort to reach out to young voters?
Well, they're the future of the country, and I think when you look at the different platforms of both parties, the Democratic Party's platform really falls in line with what youth issues, whether it's investing in education, expanding Pell Grants, or investing in the 21st century jobs, you know, green technology. I used the example of my my foster brother, who we actually adopted way down in southern Illinois. And he's an example of a child who, you know, we brought up to my public school, which is, you know, top public school in the state, and gave him these opportunities that I happened to be born with and he happened to not be born with. And he, you know, eventually went to, University of Illinois, essentially on a free ride, with Pell Grants and other public funding, as along with scholarships, and he's studying computer science. And I think without these investments that we've made in youth, you know, him and people like him wouldn't have these opportunities. If he stayed, you know, down in southern Illinois, media per capita income is about $17,000 a year. You can't really live the American dream. You know, the Republican Party's presidential nominee, Mitt Romney, saying, you know, if you can't afford college, you just borrow from your parents. I think that just demonstrates the naivete that the party has regarding youth issues.
You know, it was interesting, Zach, as I was listening to the vice presidential candidate, Paul Ryan, speak. He spoke about people in their mid to late 20s still living at home and apologizing for some reason for that.
Right.
Perhaps they've forgotten. And interestingly, you know, in 2008 when Barack Obama was elected, you weren't even old enough to vote, were you?
No.
No. And so here you are four years later, one of the youngest delegates at the convention.
Right.
You know, this idea that we apologize, first of all, parents don't necessarily want their kids to leave. I mean, that's a tough thing for them to go through anyway.
Right.
But there's a profound reason young people can't leave home. It has nothing to do with Barack Obama. It has to do with George W. Bush.
Right. And it's a long-term scenario we have here of, you know, the economy, especially in the tech and finance worlds, are changing substantially, you know, exponentially. And we're not really equipping, you know, students with the skills to compete in this 21st century economy. But to blame the present, I think, is absurd, especially when you're offering a plan that cuts 20% in education, you know, as the Paul Ryan plan does. So this idea that the Republicans have this answer to the long-term, what I call a skills crisis in this country among millennials, is absurd. The Republican Party doesn't have the platform. The platform that youth are looking for is really only seen in the Democratic Party. And what I find absurd is that there isn't even an alternative in the Republican Party.
Wow, you know, I hadn't even thought about that, but you're 100% correct. You know, when we talk about young Democrat organizations, I would imagine that one of the challenges is getting people your age engaged, involved, aware, educating them. I'm not going to ask what your success rate is, because that's ridiculous. But do you find that it's more of a challenge to get people your age active, or do you find that once they see what the issues are, because I can't imagine there's a young person, I don't care what they think their political background is, that this stuff affects everybody in your age group, everybody.
Right. You know, in our DuPage Young Dems meetings, we'll get people, you know, who are fairly apolitical and just, you know, exploring. But once they start hearing about the issues, they start getting passionate about it. At this convention, we've had a record number of young delegates here. It's about 644 youth delegates representing here, which is the highest in history. So this idea, you know, that we've lost the enthusiasm gap, of course, we don't have nearly the excitement we may have had in 2008. However, we still have the same positions, the same reasons. We still have the same interests, which, you know, education, investing in the 21st century economy. And we still know that the Democrats and Barack Obama are the ones who are willing to make those investments. Now, it's not as exciting as last year, of course. However, we're still, I'm still confident we'll come out for the president. And if you see at this convention with the record number of youth delegates here, I think that attests to that as well.
You know, it's interesting. I recently, somebody had sent me an email on that very issue saying, hey, you know, the young vote isn't as enthusiastic. I said, name one person, one issue, one pop culture, one song, one anything that is as popular today as it was 4 years ago. Just one anything.
Exactly.
And of course, they wrote me back and said, okay, touche.
Exactly.
You know, it's not that we don't love the president. It's not that we're not going to vote for him. But, I mean, you can't play, you know, you can't be the rock star for 4 years. It's just not realistic to think that.
We had a rock star election last time. And this time, I think we still have that support for the president. You know, not necessarily the rock star support we have, but we still have that support because we do know that the issues that his positions on the issues align with our interests, and the Republican Party doesn't have any alternative, whether it's investing in education or investing in 21st century economy. In all of Mitt Romney's energy speech, the only energy jobs he was talking about.
You're reading my mind, by the way. Go ahead.
With the old jobs of the past, coal. Coal isn't going to be around in 30 years. Okay, we need to start adjusting to where the economy is going, the world global economy is going, and prepare our young people to compete in it.
What does that Carol aspire to do? What do you want to be? What do you, and that's not when you grow up, because you're grown up. What do you want to do? I mean, where are you headed?
I'm certainly not grown up yet. You know, I'm always really just will take, you know, I'm really passionate about trade issues, especially trying to get jobs to come back to this country. I'm studying Mandarin Chinese.
Just little light Mandarin Chinese, are you?
I mean, I'm really passionate about bringing these jobs that we've lost over the past 30 years since Ronald Reagan back to the United States. It is happening. I mean, we're seeing trade costs, shipping costs rise. We're seeing Chinese currency rise. So I am confident that these jobs will eventually come back. And it's really up to our politicians and policies today to prepare young 60. People to be competitive for those jobs.
Zach Carroll, I got to tell you, I've interviewed a lot of young people. You're a rising star in this party. I would venture to guess that if I'm at the 2016 convention, you will be there, perhaps as an elected official. But you will definitely be back. I really enjoyed blabbing with you. So thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Appreciate it, Tony. Thank you very much.
Zach Carroll again with the Young Democrats.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard. No one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310WDTW.
My next guest joining me now is Corey Elons. Corey brings nearly 20 years of expertise as a strategic communicator from a wide range of experiences, including the White House, where he was a media liaison, Capitol Hill, political campaigns, commercial marketing, and the U.S. military. He is a leader now with the Vox team, and he's going to tell us a little bit about Vox Global and what they're all about. Corey, welcome to First Shift this morning.
Tony, thank you for having me on. It's really good to be here. Good to be with you.
Well, I appreciate that.
Good to be with you.
Tell me quickly about Vox Global for my audience.
Sure, absolutely. Vox is a public affairs and strategic communications firm in Washington, D.C. We work with Fortune 10 out of the Fortune 500, Fortune 10 companies, nonprofits, and individuals, prominent individuals, providing them strategic communications counsel and helping them communicate to the audiences that matter most to them.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. All right. So you have a now very diverse background, worked at the White House. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that part of the reason you're here today is you're a messenger. So you got a message for these people. Again, you're speaking to Detroit this morning.
Absolutely.
Let's, if we can quickly, juxtapose, although we're just getting started, so maybe it's a little hard to juxtapose, but let's talk about the difference between what they heard last week and what you know, because you know a lot about what's happening this week, what we're going to hear this week.
Well, I think the people in Detroit are going to hear a dramatic contrast between what President Obama has to offer based on what's already been done and what will be done versus the policies of the other party that are designed to take us backwards, to take us in the direction that we simply don't want to go. People, the question of the week is, are we better off? Well, the answer to the question is absolutely. And the reason is because you have to appreciate where we were when this party got started 4 years ago, losing 750,000 jobs a month. We were on the precipice of an economic collapse. And people get tired of hearing that, especially our friends on the other side. But facts are facts. And at the end of the day, it is the policies that this administration put in place, from the stimulus bill to the auto bailout, which I know the people of Detroit and Michigan are familiar with and pleased about, and so many other policies that impacted our economy that have brought us back from the brink. We didn't know a lot about Mitt Romney before he picked Paul Ryan as his vice presidential nominee. We now know more about what he will do as president than we have ever known because of what Paul Ryan has introduced in his budget. These are issues that are designed to hurt regular everyday Americans, increase their taxes, roll back their access to health care, and ultimately leave them in a much worse position than they are even today, and certainly worse off than a future would be with a President Obama.
You know, Corey, it's fascinating as we look at the series of lies that were told last week. And you know there was we were watching Bill Maher the other night, and Ron Christie was on, and he says, you know, we need to start now fact checking the fact checkers. You know, when Bill Maher said, when we can't even agree on the facts, we got a problem in this country. Well, we can agree on the facts, and we know that Paul Ryan told nothing, but even Fox News wrote an op-ed, said it was he got a golden reward for telling the most lies in a convention
speech.
Exactly
right.
No, I don't know that we need to sell America on that, because if you're a Republican, you don't care about lies. That's what you need to hear, so they're telling them what they need to hear. What job do we need to do this week? Because we're not going to lie. We are going to tell the truth.
We are going to tell the truth. Well, I tell you what, Tony, right now, the Republican convention last week was designed for low-information voters. It was designed for people who haven't been paying attention but may be tuning in now, and for folks who are already right-wing, hardcore conservatives. It wasn't designed for moderates. It wasn't even designed for independents. They spoke to people who are already in their camp or who haven't been paying attention very much. This week, we are going to be talking to the entire country, and we're going to be doing one part of correcting the record and making sure that people understand that starts tonight with Mrs. Obama coming to the stage, the First Lady. And it also starts with Governor Deval Patrick of Massachusetts, who will come to the stage tonight and talk more about Governor Romney's record as governor of Massachusetts than even Governor Romney did last week in his own speech. He barely spoke the words Massachusetts governor. And when he did, he only talked about the six or seven government jobs or appointments he made with women. He didn't even mention the word health care in the entire speech, which is extraordinary when you're talking about a man who says he was chief executive of a state and now he wants to be chief executive of the country. It's absolutely extraordinary. Well, so I think, again, you're going to see a dramatic contrast in the message, and the deliberation in which we deliver that message this week is going to be critically important now and throughout the duration of the campaign.
You know, Corey, I want to guess you and I might have been raised in a similar fashion, but my parents raised me not to be ashamed of my greatest accomplishments. His greatest accomplishment was Romney care.
No question about it. So absolutely.
In the people of the state of Massachusetts, I mean, I will post online later the website that takes them to what Romney care does for people.
Absolutely.
And all the testimonials that are on there and people that have had their lives saved because of what he did. He
his
should
official,
be proud of that.
His official portrait of him as governor has the bill in his hand on the desk. His official portrait. They acknowledge it. They acknowledge it as his greatest achievement. Yet they refuse to talk about it because it does not speak to the right-wing conservatives who are vastly against it and who want to overturn it. Those are the types of things that real everyday Americans need to know about. That's the type of information they're going to get this week. And my bet is that at the end of the day, they will come out more informed and more energized about supporting this president. Because after this, we're racing towards we're racing to election day at that point.
Well, we are racing to election day. I do have to tell you, there is one thing. We have very little time left, but I do want to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe that the Republican Party has a tinge of racism to it, and there was some of that convention last week that teased unfortunately, in the fundamental white male American that still follows the Republican Party like it's a church.
Mm.
And it scares me. It scares me because they got in the way of this. What my audience heard him say this 1,000 times now, so I'm going to say it again.
Right.
I do believe Barack Obama is the greatest president this country's ever had.
Mm.
But if he is reelected, history will remember him that way. He has already accomplished more than George Bush did in 4 years. He already has better plans for this country than most presidents have ever dreamed to have for this country.
Mm.
I think they're afraid that a black man will get credit for being the best president this country's ever had.
Well, that's an extraordinary notion, and I will tell you, I was talking to somebody earlier, and I said, look, I really do believe that President Obama in his second term will have the opportunity to be the president that he truly wants to be. This cycle, we know, 2008 was a change election. We had a lot of folks coming across a lot of different lines to support this young black senator who wanted to be president of the United States and help us make history. But before that, it was a base-centered election where each side drove their base. We're back into that cycle. But I believe that after November 6th, we'll be in a period of, we'll be in a moment where this president will be able to govern from a position of power and strength, because he won't have to run for re-election. If you elect Mitt Romney, we're back into the same cycle again, where everything is looked through at through a political lens.
We're out of time. I could do this all day with you.
I appreciate that.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
What a great media picture it made. Mitt Romney was at an Ohio rally, standing at a lectern with his white shirt sleeves rolled up in that common guy style he often adopts. The best visual, though, was a great-looking group of coal miners in overalls, work shirts, and hard hats gathered behind him. A sign on the lectern declared, "Coal Country Stands with Mitt." Well, actually, it's coal executives who really stand with Mitt, rich guys in suits. In fact, the miners in the photo seemed downright sour, frowning at the Republican as if they didn't really want to be there. It turns out they didn't. The sorry truth is that they were compelled by the corporate honchos of Murray Energy to be props at Romney's staged PR event. Yet, in twisted language that would make Orwell cringe, a Murray official later told WWVA Radio that while attendance at the Romney event was mandatory, no one was forced to attend. Huh? Okay, Murray didn't use cattle prods to herd them to the rally, but it did make workers pre-register to attend, and it was clear that anyone who did not sign up risked getting fired. That explains their glumness, but here's why so many miners practically glowered at the multimillionaire candidate. they were being docked a day's pay for the event. Yes, not only were workers compelled to be backdrops for a politician most don't support, but they were also forced to contribute their paychecks, money that Murray simply pocketed, presumably using some of it to finance Romney's hokey rally. Well, sniffed a top Murray boss condescendingly, the event, quote, was in the best interest of anyone that's related to the coal industry, so workers should have been happy to donate a day's pay. This is Jim Hightower saying that's a cold corporate attitude that would cause Romney, the pain from Bain, to smile warmly.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Joining me now is Lee Saunders. Lee is the president of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. Of course, you would know them better as AFSCME. He was elected to the union's 40th International Convention in June of this year. Lee was previously elected Secretary-Treasurer of the union's 39th International Convention in July of 2010. He has a very rich history in the union movement, coming to AFSCME as a labor economist back in 1978, important for a lot of initiatives, and including one that we're going to talk about here in just a few moments. But Lee Saunders, I want to welcome you to First Shift and to Detroit, who I'm sure is thrilled to hear from you this morning.
I'm glad to be here, Tony.
I really do appreciate it. You know, let's talk about some of the challenges that we do have in the state of Michigan. Al Garrett, Ed McNeil, you and I were talking during the break. Nick Cimitero doing some fabulous work back in the city. Lots of challenges with city employees. Our mayor, who has turned out not to be very union-friendly, unfortunately, continues to go after your membership. I'm happy to say your membership's standing up. Your membership has done an amazing job of educating not just their membership, but the public. They have held a series of town hall meetings to educate the public on how they can save money, how the city continues to ignore their proposals. It shows that when union wants to work, it works as best as it can, as it AFSCME is doing in the city. How challenging is this for you folks right now in the city of Detroit?
Well, these are very challenging times. Our folks have not had a contract. They haven't had wage increases. They're looking at depleted staff all over that city. The mayor talking about privatization. I mean, it's a challenge for us, but we're going to hold strong. We're going to hold together under the leadership of Al Garrett and Larry Roarg, and we're going to do what we have to do. We're going to make our voices heard in that city. We're going to educate our communities. You know, our members live in the community. They live in the city of Detroit. They provide essential public services, and that's what we've got to talk about. It's not only about our jobs, but it's about what kind of city Detroit is going to be and what kind of public services those citizens who live in Detroit are going to be receiving, and that's what we've got to talk about.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that offends me is that the people that live in the city of Detroit exponentially pay much higher taxes than other people that live in southeast Michigan, yet they get less for those tax dollars than people that live in other parts of southeast Michigan. Services continue to dwindle. The workers are, as you said, they are horribly short-staffed. For the first time in the history of public employees in the city of Detroit, some of them are actually eligible for food stamps. They're paid.
So it's a shame, isn't it?
It's a shame. And this is not a country that should allow that. And unfortunately, my God, under a Romney-Ryan administration, they would want Michigan to become a right-to-work state. In fact, our governor, although he says that he doesn't want to talk about it, he's never said I'd veto it if it came to my desk.
Well, not only do they want Michigan to be a right-to-work state, they want the entire country to be a right-to-work country. You look at the Republican platform last week and what they were talking about, what speaker after speaker was talking about, and it was to attack the labor movement. It was to take away our rights, whether it's collective bargaining, dues checkoff, right to work being initiated in every state across this country. It's very, very clear what they want to do. They want to take this country backwards rather than moving it forwards. And that's why the labor movement in our community and coalition partners is so active in understanding the importance of this election.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the labor movement and affecting policy. AFSCME was almost singularly responsible for the pushback against Public Act 4 in the state of Michigan, which, of course, is what we call the dictator law. Takes away people's right to representation, literally takes away. You're very familiar with it. I don't need to walk you through it. You brought it up to me, so I know you know what I'm talking about here. Without AFSCME involvement, that never would have got on the ballot. The AFSCME members and others did just an amazing job of going out and getting those signatures and getting it on the ballot. Now, but we also understand we have some education to do. The polling shows 53% in last week's Detroit Free Press are in favor of that law. So we know we've got some work to do.
Well, we do have some education, and I guess it depends upon what poll you look at, too. So
I'll agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
But no, we're going to work hard. As you said, this was a brainchild of Council 25 and AFSCME. We were the ones that really headed up collecting those signatures. We've got it on the ballot. We're putting resources into that state so people understand exactly what this law does. I mean, think about it. The governor has the ability at any time to declare a financial emergency and place one of his cronies, and I want to stress that, one of his cronies into government, whether it's a city or school district or county, one of his people. He can remove the elected officials in that area, abrogate every contract that exists between labor and that jurisdiction, and then he can do what he wants to do. Now, is that the kind of America that we want to live in? I think that's the kind of question we've got to ask.
Yeah, it is an important, not only is it a critical question, and then the answer to that for most of us anyway, not all of us, for most of us, that is, of course, no, we don't want to live in a country like that. Well, another issue that is front and center, and we're still fighting it in the courts, is the right to collective bargain, a constitutionally protected right to collective bargain in the state of Michigan. Again, AFSCME's very involved in that effort as well. I imagine you guys get exhausted getting calls from Michigan saying we need your help. But we are under attack in the state of Michigan right now.
Well, just as we were under attack in Wisconsin and Ohio and Florida, Michigan is ground zero for us right now. As far as what's happening at the state level there. So we're putting resources into that state. We're going to be putting staff. We're asking our affiliates to send staff into that state so we can help Council 25 organize the communities around in Michigan. And we're going to do everything that we can to be successful there.
Well, Lisa Hunters, I can tell you the good news with this radio program is I'm an activist with a microphone. I'm not a journalist. I am very partisan. I'm a very liberal Democrat. I'm a very pro-union guy. The show is actually completely supported by organized labor. And so they're very upfront about that. My audience knows that. Those that love me know it. Those that hate me know it. And I'm not ashamed of it. In fact, very proud of the fact. So just know that this show is here to help you with that effort in any way that we possibly can.
No, we appreciate that. We need more voices like yours, Tony, not only in Detroit and in Michigan, but across this country.
Well, I do appreciate that. Let's talk, before we have to let you go this morning, a little bit about national politics. It's a big week, of course. The First Lady will speak tonight. Very much looking forward to that. I happen to love that woman. President will speak later this week. Former President Bill Clinton will be here. The list of speakers, Foreign President Jimmy Carter will be here, happens to be one of my favorite presidents. They're just in the diversity of the speakers is just uncommon. I've never seen, and of course, Congresswoman and Chair of the Democratic National Committee, Deborah Mann Wasserman Schultz, has talked for months now about the openness of this convention. Tell me what this means for you and what you hope to carry away from this convention this week.
Well, we've got about 180 delegates and alternates at this convention. AFSCME delegates and alternates. So we call ourselves the state of AFSCME because we actually have more delegates than a lot of states.
In fact, we were
country.
Over at the Omni yesterday, and it looked like it was AFSCME Central over there.
We had a lot of green shirts out. Yeah. We had a lot of green shirts out. But that just shows that our people are activated. They are educating, and they're mobilizing their peers and their co-workers, their families, their communities. They understand the importance of this race. And I think you're going to see a stark difference between what was heard last week at the Republican Convention and the attack on working families, the attack on the middle class. They're their efforts to give power, more power and more wealth to the top 1% in this country rather than helping the 99% who are trying to play by the rules every single day, send their kids to school, put food on the table. I mean, that's going to be the difference. You're going to look at the record of Barack Obama for the past 4 years, health care reform. He saved the auto industry, which is extremely important, obviously, in Michigan, but it was extremely important across this country. Middle class tax breaks. I mean, you look at the record. You look at what President Obama has done. You look at what he wants to do as far as creating good jobs in this country. And then you listen to the Republican platform where they want to give tax breaks to the top 1%, where they expect that is going to trickle down to the 99%. That's never worked, never will work, and we've got to fight like hell.
And our show, we call that, we don't call it trickle down, we call it piddle down, because that's how it feels, unfortunately, to those of us that are still waiting some decades later. Ronald Reagan's promise ended up being what we thought it would be, which is one big lie. I got nervous listening to the Republicans last week, again, talking about polls, and you and I know polls this time of year don't matter a whole lot, but it does give us a snapshot where we're at right now. And Mitt Romney gets a 1% bump, worst ever, after a convention speech. He lost that 1% over the weekend because I think people are really paying attention to what's going on. So at this point, it's a dead heat. Part of me is a little surprised by that. Part of me says the Democratic Party needs to do a little bit better job about bragging what they've accomplished.
I agree. They've got to talk about what's happened in Barack Obama's record over the past 4 years, and they've got to really highlight what the Republicans are talking about. I'm confident. I really am confident that after this convention is over, people are going to really start concentrating on this race. They understand the importance of this race. This could be possibly the most important campaign, the most important election in our lifetime.
You know, I do a lot of public speaking, and I tell people we hear this every election cycle. But this time, it really is the most important election. If we elect a Romney-Ryan ticket, life as we know it disappears. None of us have much to look forward to. And I this isn't the politics of fear. It's the politics of reality. We know what they represent. We've seen it. We had 8 years of it under George Bush and Lee. I mean, let's just very quickly for a moment talk about it. At their convention, no Dick Cheney, no George Bush. The only person that they have from their administration was Condoleezza Rice, and I have a feeling it was more because she was a black woman than any other reason. They didn't have... when was the last time you saw a convention where they have a primary that not 30. One of the primary opponents was one of the major speakers? They're ashamed of themselves. We've only, unfortunately, got about 10 seconds left. Lee Saunders, I want to thank you so much. I'd love to visit with you again. Perhaps we can get you on when I'm back in Detroit.
I'd love to. Love to. Good seeing you
God
again,
bless
Tony.
You. Really nice to meet you.
Okay.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally.
It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310WDTW.
I'm very excited to present my next guest. I have to tell you, as I was prepping for my trip on Saturday, and I went to look at the bio and did some research on my next guest, I was just amazed and so empowered by her story. Joining me now is Nevada Assemblywoman Lucy Flores, who represents, I want to say, the 28th district.
That's correct.
In Nevada?
Yes.
Okay. And the 28th district, Lucy, would be where?
Northeast Las Vegas.
Okay, Northeast Las Vegas. And anyway, first of all, welcome to the show and good morning to you. And I know this is a new time zone for you for a few days, so I hope that this isn't taking too much out of you.
It's okay. I'm used to working really hard, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so it's a pleasure to be here.
I believe that. I do want to spend a little time talking about your story because you do have a compelling backstory. I don't want this whole interview to be about that because it's about today who you are, but you got here in a certain way. You had a very difficult upbringing. You, as I said before you and I started talking, taking one wrong turn, you wouldn't be sitting here right now.
That's correct, yeah. I definitely had, you know, I tell people that my story is half about luck and half about persistence, because if it hadn't been for a lot of really fortunate occurrences, people that came into my life, people who took an interest in working with me as a person and not the situation that I was in. I, you know, was in a broken home, had gotten involved with gangs, was on juvenile parole by the time I was 15 years old, and at that point I was treated like a criminal, and it really took occurrences of people looking at me and saying, hey, she's in just a bad situation, but she's not a bad person, and actually taking the time to invest in me and mentor me and get me back on the right path, that I was able to start looking at myself differently and thinking, hey, you know, maybe I can do something different with myself. So, you know, it happened over a long period of time. It certainly did not happen overnight, but definitely I'm lucky that I have those people and they come into my life, and we have to remember that there's a lot of youth out there, and I do tons of youth engagement. There's kids out there who are not getting those people. They're not getting those opportunities. They're not getting those mentors. They're not getting that energy put back into them and what's happening to them. They didn't get the lucky breaks that I got.
You know, I find it fascinating, and we don't need to get into every nitty-gritty detail of your story, you know, when you got your GED and all that. I mean, it's online. If people want to Google it, they can go ahead and Google it, although it's a fascinating story. There's so much I want to talk to you about. When we talk about mentorship, though, you know, we now have been stressed. The economy is stressed. People are out of jobs. A lot of times people's self-worth disappears, even if they've worked in a job 30 days or 30 years. When you suddenly find yourself on assistance or needing help and not knowing where to turn, you were young and didn't know where to turn. Fortunately, you had people come into your life, intervene at some point deep inside you. I mean, we can give credit to other people, but Lucy Flores, at some point, you had to make the right choice. I see that there are fewer and fewer people willing to step up and be mentors. That's a challenge, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's definitely a challenge, you know, especially when you're so concerned about the problems that you're experiencing in your own life. You know, whatever the economic toll is taking on communities, states for that matter. I mean, Nevada has definitely been one of the states that have been hardest hit in this recession. So, you know, when people are so wrapped up in their own challenges, you know, the last thing that they're thinking is trying to intervene in other people's challenges. So it's definitely been, you know, this the whole situation has taken a toll on everyone. But you're right. You know, it did, that's why I say that my personal story was half luck, half persistence. And that's what I try to emphasize in people. You know, if I can have a platform where my words can reach a lot of people and the things that I had to experience, but that ultimately I got through, you know, if that can help them in any kind of way, then, you know, certainly I've accomplished what I set out to do. And I think that people have to remember that, you know, we have to persist. They have to keep trying. They cannot give up on themselves. And they have to know that you know, that new beginnings are around the horizon if they just stick it in there.
And Nevada Assemblywoman Lucy Flores is my guest. You know, I find it fascinating because there are a great many challenges as a lawmaker. Now, you, every decision you make, and I don't know honestly the political makeup of your assembly. I don't know if you have the challenges that we have in Michigan. I think you were just about to mention my friend Harvey Santana's name.
I was.
Harvey's a regular guest on my show and a very good friend. And he's with us once a month, and is probably my audience's favorite segment because, as you know, he's a no BS kind of guy.
That's right.
Which is why I love him.
Yes.
But there are challenges when you see the needs of your community. And let's talk a little bit about your community, the people that you represent. What are the challenges? I mean, beyond jobs, what are the challenges that are within your community that you have to go to the state capitol and fight for all the time?
Well, certainly the litany of challenges that the nation is experiencing, that you're experiencing in your home state, are the same challenges that we're experiencing in my state and in my community. You know, the housing crisis definitely took a toll and continues to take a toll. The education disparities that exist within low-income communities and communities of color are especially prevalent in Nevada because we've never had an emphasis in education. Again, all of these different things that I personally experienced, that I go up to Carson City knowing that not only did I personally face those challenges, but that many, many people in my community are facing those challenges, which is why I go to Carson City and do what I do. But yes, housing, jobs, educational disparities, health disparities, the obesity epidemic is really taking a toll. My district is predominantly Hispanic, and obesity is definitely an issue.
As is diabetes within the Hispanic community.
And which is oftentimes a result of obesity and, you know, bad eating habits. So all of the challenges, as I said, that the nation is experiencing, we're absolutely experiencing in my community and in my state. So, you know, and we go up every, and we're a part-time legislature that meets every 2 years. We're just like Texas in that sense. So it's especially challenging because you're trying to deal with these issues and hopefully do enough, because you know that you can't meet for another 2 years. So it's especially challenging in Nevada.
You know, tell us your journey to becoming an assemblywoman. I mean, to make that choice, I mean, at some level you thought, hey, I can really make a difference. And people don't understand. I've been a candidate for office. It's not about your ego. You really feel like you can make a difference. But I'm sure you had an opponent. I'm sure you went through a difficult campaign. Certainly to be elected is something to be very, very proud of. You have lots in your life to be very proud of. But tell us about that decision and that journey to where you are at right now.
You know, it was so what took me back to Las Vegas, I actually represent the district where I grew up, which I'm very proud of. And so when I decided to go back to Las Vegas, I was actually in Los Angeles. I had done my undergrad at USC, University of Southern California. When I was deciding on a law school, I was actually very involved with the Innocence Project, working on the issue of wrongful convictions. Nevada did not have any local representation for folks who had claims of wrongful conviction, and so I decided that if I was going to choose a law school, I would choose a law school where I could do something. And since I was working so so heavily with the Innocence Project, I decided to start one at the law school. I accomplished that in my first year of law school, ended up in Carson City in my second year of law school, lobbying, doing pro bono lobbying for that effort. We passed two pieces of legislation that dealt with wrongful conviction reform, and at that point my seat opened up, and that was the very first time that I'd ever, I told my story, my personal story publicly when I was given the Latina Student of the Year at USC, but that was the first time that I had publicly really talked about my story. I testified on the dropout crisis in Nevada and said, you know, I feel like I need to talk about my experience going through the school district in Las Vegas and quite frankly how it failed me. And so at that point, you know, I just kind of started getting really involved. My seat opened up. I was actually going to finish my third year of law school, and I just thought to myself, I'm really fulfilled in what I'm doing. I got those two pieces of legislation passed as a student, kind of external lobbyist, and I thought to myself, well, I feel really great about what I'm doing. I'm clearly kind of good at it, so imagine what I could accomplish as a legislator, and decided to run, and here I am.
And here you are. It's a great story. You know, it was interesting as we were talking. I know that there's actually a part of you that there's some reluctance to talk about the past, not because you're ashamed of it, but because it kind of takes away from what you're doing in the present, and I would think that you also have a vision for the future. So that's, I would imagine, a difficult tightrope to walk for you.
Yes. Sometimes it's challenging. You know, the other thing, too, is that I never want to make it seem like it's easier than it was. I never talk to youth, for example, and say, you know, I did it, you can do it, too, because it's not that simple.
60.
It's a complicated issue. And challenges are just different and unique in and of themselves. And so I never want to give the impression that what I did was really easy. But at the same time, it takes a long time to kind of talk about, you know, the whole experience. And I mean, it took a good, you know, I didn't go back to school until I was 22 years old, almost
right.
23.
We have to take a quick break here.
That will wrap it up for now on the Best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Remember, we're always interacting on Facebook on the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page. Add a like, tell a friend, grow the community today. Also on Twitter at Tony Trupiano, TonyTrupiano. And, of course, email if you still use it. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone still uses email. Tony@thetonyshow.org. Thanks to everyone who appreciates and supports the show. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Jeff Radford, and I hope you enjoyed this hour of the show. Now, stay tuned for the latest news brought to you by NBC News.
Next time you need to stop the groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
My grandfather got me started collecting coins way back when I was a boy. And after all these years, I still get a special kick out of holding a coin like the famous $10 gold Indian in my hand. Especially since millions of gold coins were melted down during the Great Depression. I was amazed when I heard the New York Mint was announcing the public release from its vaults of the highly sought-after $10 gold Indian, struck from 1907 to 1933. Well, I had to call. I mean, it's shocking that these coins even exist. Who knows how long they'll last or when they'll ever find anything like this again. And once they're gone, they're gone. So if you want to get your hands on one of these magnificent $10 gold Indians, you better call now.
Don't miss your chance to own a valuable piece of American history. For free historical information and a free collector's DVD, call now. 1-800-400-6102. That's 1-800-400-6102. 1-800-400-6102.
The following is a free offer from Rosetta Stone.
Anyone that I talk to about learning a language, I tell them there's just no other way to do it than Rosetta Stone.
I took Spanish in high school, and it was a miserable failure. 20 years later, I saw the Rosetta Stone program, and it was pretty fun.
You are seeing the language, you are writing the language, you are speaking it.
Real users agree. Rosetta Stone is the fastest way to learn a language, guaranteed. And to prove it, we want you to be a part of our biggest language learning event in history. Because in 2012, we want to help 3 million people learn a new language. That's why we're going to give you an absolutely free demo of our language immersion technology. To participate in this nationwide event, call 1-800-514-3354.
Rosetta Stone is, in my opinion, the ultimate method, the only method there is to learn a language.
For your free demo, call 1-800-514-3354. That's 1-800-514-3354.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Iglesias. Planning for a U.S. resurgence. President Obama accepting the Democratic nomination for 4 more years, portraying himself as a defender of the middle class with a plan to create jobs across the country.
We can give more tax breaks to corporations that ship jobs overseas, or we can start rewarding companies that open new plants and train new workers and create new jobs here in the United States of America.
The president accusing Republicans of offering one solution for virtually any problem, more tax cuts. Wall Street's riding high following encouraging news about Europe's debt crisis. Stocks reaching levels not seen in nearly 5 years, the Dow gaining 244 points. But all eyes on the Labor Department this morning, private analysts predicting only modest job growth. And is pro football in the chips? The season's just beginning and the Super Bowl is already 90% sold out. 30-second spots for the big game selling for a record $3.8 million. This is NBC News Radio. A third Yosemite National Park visitor has died from hantavirus, while warnings about the mouse-borne disease are being sent to an additional 12,000 Yosemite visitors. NBC's Janet Shamlian.
This is a serious outbreak. One-third of all hantavirus cases are fatal. And while the CDC originally said about 10,000 people were exposed, they now believe the number is much higher than that.
Low interest rates make this a great time to refinance. Just ask Ben Bernanke, the head of the Fed, among those taking advantage of record low rates to refinance his Washington home. He's back in uniform. Britain's Prince Harry has returned to Afghanistan to fly Apache attack helicopters during a four-month tour of duty. And Ben and Jerry's has put a deep freeze on a pornography company that was selling X-rated videos with titles based on the ice cream brand's famous flavors. A federal judge ruling that titles such as Peanut Butter D-Cups just can't cut it. I'm Jim Iglesias, NBC News Radio.
Like I always say, behind every great football game is a great football party. And kickoff always starts at Sam's Club.
Find brand name favorites and big game savings at Sam's Club with guaranteed crowd pleasers, delicious snacks, drinks.
And don't forget the big screen.
Special savings and HD TVs from Sony, Samsung, and LG. And check out the latest smartphones from AT&T and Verizon to keep you connected to all the action.
I score more savings with my membership for everything and any event.
See why life is better in the club. Sam's Club. Join and save.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the certified pre-owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10-1-12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
In the coming hour, Wall Street's course for today likely will be set. We get the economic reading so big it carries at least a possibility of overshadowing both political conventions we just had. The Labor Department to issue its reading of August job creation and the unemployment rate predicted to show a gain yet again, but weaker than July's reading. Unemployment expected to hold at 8.3%. Ahead of that, there is some carryover from yesterday's massive Wall Street rally, which brought futures to multi-year highs. S&P futures right now gaining 6, NASDAQ futures up 9, Dow futures up 42. You may recall last month we told you NBC was cutting the huge budget for its Tonight Show by 20% from its $100 million annual expense. You also heard Jay Leno himself took a voluntary pay cut to help save some other staff members' jobs. Now we know how much of a cut. Wall Street Journal says Leno's paycheck has been cut in half from $30 to $15 million. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
We're fashion retailers,
wine wholesalers,
a surgical implant company.
We are mid-sized businesses.
We're working with IBM and their business partners
to fuel innovation and a new economy,
and to wield the influence that once belonged to only the largest enterprises.
Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
Let's build a smarter planet.
See how IBM and our business partners are helping to build the engines of a smarter planet at ibm.com/engines.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
Ryan, technician with SafeLight Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With SafeLight, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight, or call 1-800-800-2727, or go to SafeLight.com.
We're fashion retailers,
wine wholesalers,
a surgical implant company.
We are mid-sized businesses. We're working with IBM and their business partners
to fuel innovation and a new economy,
and to wield the influence that once belonged to only the largest enterprises.
Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
Let's build a smarter planet.
See how IBM and our business partners are helping to build the engines of a smarter planet at ibm.com/engines.
I like saving money. I mean, it's not like I have a purse stuffed with coupons or... Okay, I do. The other day, I went into Wells Fargo to get help with a car loan.
Good news. You qualify for our double discount promotion. Get double the interest rate discount we normally give on select new loans and lines of credit just for being a Wells Fargo checking package customer.
And the best part? I didn't even need a coupon.
Come to Wells Fargo to discuss how the double discount promotion can help with the interest rate on your new loan or line of credit. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Subject to credit...
Good morning and welcome to another edition of The Best Of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. I'm your host for the day, Jeff Radford, and on today's show, we're bringing you some of our favorite interviews Tony has done with the people making the news in and out of the state of Michigan. What you'll hear in this hour is the information we need to get out and share with the people, the facts, if you will, in a world of spin. Even though these interviews are taped and no one is actually in studio at the moment, you can still interact with the show on the First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page and through Twitter at Tony Trupiano, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O, or even send up an email, tony@thetonyshow.org. Now, without further ado, let's start the show.
Joining us now, again, the founder of the Talk Radio News Service, Ellen Ratner, an old friend, a dear friend. And, you know, I absolutely love you, Ellen. We've been doing radio together since the Talk America Radio Network days of Tom Starr and John Crohan.
Do you realize I've been in radio 21 years?
It goes by quickly, doesn't it?
It goes by quickly. It's going to end quickly, too, I think.
You know, people, I was talking about you yesterday. Of course, I want to thank the Talk Radio News Service and your entire staff for making this effortless for us. Without you, of course, we wouldn't be here today, and without the Talk Radio News Service and your staff. So let me thank you, and for my audience, thank you for all of the hard work. You, of course, were also in Tampa and put together Radio Row there. How you get all this accomplished is beyond me. But I, you know, I also, and I guess one of the first questions that I want to get to. Oh, and I should mention, by the way, before I even get to the question, that the Talk Radio News Service are going to start becoming regular contributors to our show in the 9 o'clock hour when we return from the convention. But, you know, Ellen, let's talk about it. You're at the White House every day. You actually have an office at the White House.
Well, we have a radio booth at the White House. One of the 9 radio booths belongs to us.
And that's a big deal. I mean, and this actually goes over many administrations. So you mean
yes, we actually got our booth in the Clinton administration. And I've covered every press secretary since D.D. Myers.
Yeah, well,
93. Ooh, I'm old.
Ah, you're not that old. You're not that old. You know,
but I do want to tell everybody, as long as we're here, because I was promoted. Actually, we're going to start with you the week after I come back from South Sudan, and it's goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
I'm the old goat. For my 60th birthday last year, I started to raise money to give former returnees and slaves goats. And so there it is.
You know, it's fascinating because you have done an exceptional job of being nonpartisan. You have an amazing staff. You've always been able to attract the best and the brightest talent.
And Jeff
the
down
industry.
There is a Republican, kind of a not too bad right wing. I would say social liberal, fiscal conservative. He's my deputy. I'm a lefty liberal, and we, as long as the news is down the middle, I don't care.
Yeah, and you guys do an exceptional job of that. And you and I have been doing radio together probably 17 years, except for times where I've been away from radio.
And he's ignored me.
Well, I love you. You know,
yes,
I love you.
And I just have to keep at jabbing a little bit.
No problem. You know, a lot of differences between Tampa and Charlotte, or, you know, with
the color.
The color, yeah.
I'm telling you, I've never seen so many white people in one place in my entire life. And I really do mean that. I have never, you know, if I was running the Republican Party, I should offer to do it for them. I would find minorities who were Republicans if it killed me, and I'd get them there. I'd bus them in. I'd do whatever I had to do to get minorities there. They made a terrible mistake by not having more minority representation.
Well, you certainly can't say that about this convention.
Now, how do you say with California that has almost, 50% minorities, and you have a white convention? Hello, it's the biggest state in the union.
Yeah, well, I don't get it. Well, I actually do get it. They're the Republican. First of all, the Republican Party is in search of an identity right now. They don't even know who they are right now, Ellen.
By the way, I was invited to an off-the-record, just as a friendly thing last night. There were 6 Democratic senators who are incumbents, and Debbie Stabenow is there.
Yes.
And first of all, she's looking great.
Oh, she does look fabulous.
And secondly, I mean, she's full of vinegar and the other word I'm not allowed to say on the air.
Oh, you can say piss and vinegar.
Can?
Sure,
you can say piss and vinegar.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. She was amazing. And I don't know. What's her outlook looking like in Michigan?
Great. In fact, polling came out yesterday. I just saw it in the statewide news service this morning before I came in. She's up by 9 points, and she hasn't even started to spend money yet. And she has quite a large war chest. So I think she'll be fairly easily reelected. But Debbie takes nothing for granted, and she has been out campaigning. In fact, she's going to be on my show next Monday. We've already got her scheduled.
Well, you know, it's interesting. A member of the Senate, an older member of the Senate, who shall remain nameless, said to me, he said, on my first election, I wanted to ease up on the guy that was running against me because I knew I was way ahead in the polls. And my campaign consultant says, you keep your boot on his neck until you're declared a winner, and then you can be nice.
There you go. Well, I would agree with that. Debbie is the consummate campaigner, certainly knows the landscape. You know, what's interesting, and I love to tell this fact, she is the only member of Congress that has served in every possible level of government that you can serve, from city council all the way to the United States Senate. She was a city commissioner. She was on the state rep. She was a state senator. She was a congresswoman. She's now a senator. No other member of Congress has served in every level of government that you can serve in to get to where you're
at. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, she's an amazing woman. There's no question about it. And she's a powerhouse. And as the chair of the Agriculture Committee, she's been able to...
And what she said yesterday, she had to deal with all those amendments, and she still got it done.
And she still got it done. Yeah, she's tireless. I couldn't keep up with her. There's no question about that. And I just met Congresswoman Diana DeGette, who I was so impressed with, talked about being in the minority and the challenges. But she told me, Ellen, and I thought this was interesting, that 6 members of the more traditional Republican Party approached her last week and said, things are out of control. We need to talk. So I don't. She doesn't know exactly where that's headed, but
right.
That sounds like good news.
It sounds like very good news. Listen, they've got to get it together. We're going to be partitioned like Poland was in the middle 1800s.
Yeah, this is. It's
and the Chinese are going to take us over. I got news for you.
Yeah, well, it's getting uncomfortable, and of course,
right.
we owe the Chinese way too much money at this point. So,
well, you know, I've been in China. I was in China a year and a half ago, and Tony, I got to tell you, it's scary. I also had a bunch of Chinese interns because we do a program for them, and I said to them, "Hey, you know." What do you think your system of government? Oh, we love it. You don't think you should vote? No. So they said to them, well, we're communists. I said, if you're communist, I'm going to eat this table. You're not communist. You're capitalist with a system of essentially internal democracy because within the party, it's like parties here. You know, people
right.
come up, whatever. You don't get voted on. But don't tell me that you're a communist government. You're a capitalist government, and you're more capitalist than we are.
Well, you know, what's interesting, and we know this, they're starting to pay their people more money. In fact, that's good news for the U.S. because as the cost of labor continues to go up in China, it makes it more competitive for American companies here.
But also, let me ask you a question. How does Romney do in Michigan?
Not well. He, in fact, that same poll that we had that I told you about with Senator
Stabenow
this morning.
Music to my ears.
Barack Obama's up by 7 points last week. So that's good news. And
wow.
that was after their convention. That
wow.
was after the Republican convention. In fact, what was really interesting is 53% of Michiganders do not consider Mitt Romney a Michigander.
Really?
Only 23% of the people that were polled considered him a Michigander.
Well, he's not his father's son.
He's definitely not his father's son, that's for sure. You know, and it's interesting because you look at all of his quote-unquote home states. He's not going to win Michigan. He's not going to win Massachusetts. He's not going to win California. And so you begin to wonder, because he lives in California now, has there ever been a candidate that really could claim three states as his own that doesn't have a chance of winning any three of the states?
No.
You know, so...
But he's not going to win. I'm really worried about the great state of Ohio in the election there, though. Not so much. I think Obama's going to win Ohio, but you know Sherrod Brown is running against Josh Mandel.
Yes.
Now, Josh Mandel is my cousin by marriage.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. And he's a nice guy. A nice guy. But he's 34 years old. He'll be 35 by the time he'd become a senator. Let's vote for Sherrod.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that the people in Ohio are going to...
The great state of Ohio. I know you're from Michigan, but you have to...
Oh, we're kindred spirits. No, we're kindred spirits. We share too much of the same economy.
Right.
The auto industry is as important to the state of Ohio as it is to the state of Michigan. In fact, when former Governor Strickland gave his wonderful speech last night, and I have to ask you, of the speeches last night...
I love Governor Strickland, in fact, but I do call him to his face, you know, whenever he's trying to fundraise for me. I, you know, Governor Strickland's on the phone. Hi, Governor Death Penalty. How are you?
But I have to ask you, Deval Patrick, I think the best speech, besides the First Lady, the best speech of the night was Deval Patrick.
Yes, he gave a great speech. But let me just say one other thing about Deval Patrick. I really wish he would become tougher. I lived in Massachusetts for 22 years. I'm legally married in Massachusetts, where I got married. Now I'm a New York State resident, now that they passed gay marriage.
And congratulations.
Thank you. Well, 8 years I've almost been married.
Really? Has it been that long?
It has been that long,
wow.
My friend. Yeah. Most people don't realize this about marriage in Massachusetts, but you know, when the Supreme Court allowed it to go through, it allowed it to go through as of May 17th, 2004. May 17th is the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. Not Roe versus Wade. I'm sorry, Brown versus Board of Education.
Oh, interesting.
And that's why they decided to do it on May 17th, and most people don't realize that.
You know, we are making progress in this world. We are. From a humanity standpoint, we are making progress. And even though the Republican Party is fervently trying to backtrack and undo and redo, we have made great progress. Certainly gay marriage is one of those issues. We've got a real tough case I'm working on my show with a lesbian couple that's adopted three children. But two adopted one adopted 16. The other, and they can't make medical decisions for the other child. And this is just
you know,
wrong.
I have a kid from South Sudan I brought over to this country now. I'm not legally adopting him because I really want him to go back to South Sudan and be president of South Sudan.
There you go.
But it's an interesting prospect because of the two of us, and Shalene's in medical school. She was a former U-2 pilot, but it's all those issues.
All right, we're out of time for now, but we'll look forward to having you on every day.
906, my friend.
Yes, 906. Thank you. Ellen Ratner with the Talk Radio News Service. Thank you so much.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is to increase the likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
My next guest is Congressman Tim Ryan from Ohio's 17th District. Congressman Ryan currently serves as a member of the House Armed Services Committee and also serves as a member of the House Budget Committee. And certainly being neighbors, neighboring states, we share a lot of the same pain. Obviously, the auto industry is important to both of us. But first of all, good morning to you,
good
Congressman.
Morning. Good
it's
to
a pleasure
be with you.
To have you on. Former Governor Ted Strickland gave an amazing address last night. Your impressions?
He rocked it. It was unbelievable. That was the best speech I've ever seen him give. I served with him in Congress for years. Watched him as governor, campaigned twice. That was the best speech I've ever seen him give. He was on the money and had some great lines, and I think articulated the importance of the auto industry and really personalized it.
Well, he did personalize it. He actually brought up three individuals, three real people, three real stories. He talked about getting knocked up and getting back up and how these people are thriving. I love the line he said. He talked to one of the guys. He said his life now is eat, sleep, and Jeep.
Yep.
Love that line. You know, yeah. People that know auto workers, and you know plenty of them,
yeah.
They love their job.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and they make
love
a good middle class living. And I think we talk a lot in the political discourse about family values. And I like talking about valuing time with your family, and part of that is having a job that pays you well enough that you don't have to have two or three jobs, that you can actually have some time on the weekends, hopefully. And, I mean, a lot of these auto workers do work six, 7 days at times. But you want solid work so you can hang out with your kids on the weekend. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. I'm a dad, so I can absolutely appreciate that. Congressman Ryan, let's talk about some of the challenges you've faced over the last couple of years. I mentioned the two committees you serve on. Defense has become a big topic.
Yeah.
Cutting it, what do we do? Defense is an important industry in your state. Certainly the automotive industry is an important industry in your state. So we'll start with defense because the budget committee, of course, is an entirely different conversation. And you've had a lot of interaction with Congressman Ryan, the Republicans' VP candidate. But let's talk about defense and the importance of that. For the first time in a decade, we're out of Iraq. I forgot which governor it was last night, but said that for the first time in a decade, every one of their guardsmen are home for the first time in a decade.
Wow.
Building that state as opposed to building other nations. So there's some real progress. Now the talk is, what do we do with the defense budget? It's an important budget. It creates a lot of jobs. But we have to be realistic about how we move forward, do we not?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we have in place over the next 10 years $50 billion being cut out of the defense budget a year. And it's done in a methodical way about what programs are working, what aren't, what are out, what weapon systems, for example, are outdated and we don't need anymore, and how do we trim the fat there. What sequestration would do, which is just coming in with a hatchet, it cuts another $50 billion a year, which is really significant. And I'm not a big defense guy. You know, I was not for the war in Iraq. I was very outspoken against it. But it does have a place, and we need to be smart about it. And you use a scalpel and not a hatchet. But it is part of the Tea Party ideology. It's just get rid of it. You know, it's just cut it. Well, where do you want to cut it? You know, you have priorities in life and in the Defense Department and everything else. So why would you cut a priority program as much as you're going to cut a program that maybe you can eliminate altogether? But that takes thoughtfulness. It takes sitting down. And it takes time and patience, which today it's more about temper tantrums.
Well, you know, we have an important air base in the Detroit area, and there have been, and of course, Carl Levin, the Senator Levin, of course, important part of the Armed Services Committee, the chair, and Senator Debbie Stabenow have done everything they can to protect the Selfridge Air National Guard base. There's been a lot of back and forth because that does affect, you know, that's the other thing, the domino effect of closing bases and closing industries. We can't see this resurgence in the automotive sector and manufacturing and then turn around and cut defense to the point
right.
where we're losing a commensurate amount of jobs on that side of
exactly.
the aisle. That makes
exactly.
no sense.
Exactly. And this is an interesting item that we should point out. The same Republicans who are saying, a government can't create jobs, right? When we were trying to do the American Recovery Act, because the bottom fell out of the economy, no one was spending money, so we spent money to get people to work, police, fire, teachers, infrastructure, whatever, government money to put people to work. So they said, no, government doesn't create jobs. You turn around and you listen to these same guys argue for the defense cuts. They're like, you can't cut defense because it's going to cost jobs.
Right.
And it's just like, will you guys please get on the same page here? I mean, you're either one or the other. Either it does or it doesn't. And really, it does both. And we should say, well, what's the priority?
And it
what
is
should
about,
the government
it,
do?
It is about priority. Let's turn our attention now to the House Budget Committee. You know Congressman Ryan,
very well.
Paul Ryan, quite well.
Very well.
And we should point out there's no relation
no
between
relation.
The two of you. His convention speech was shameful, inexcusable what he did to the American public on that day. Although it was well delivered, there's no question he's a handsome guy, and I'm sure personally he's an okay guy. I have a real problem with his philosophy. He's an Ayn Rand kind of guy. He's very upfront about where he comes from. We talk about values. We talk about family values and valuing family. His budget doesn't do that. There is nothing moral. You know, Bob King, the president of the UAW, once said, a budget is a moral statement.
Right.
Well, if it's a moral statement, where are Paul Ryan's morals?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was, it's bad. And you see the budget. I mean, it's, how does this hit home? What does this budget do once it's implemented? When you look at what that budget does, and the Republicans across the country voted for that budget twice, which I think is why we have an opportunity to maybe win the House back. Privatize the Medicare program, no longer a guaranteed benefit for our seniors. Imagine this now. You work, and I understand, well, it's 55 and under. Well, you know what? There's a lot of auto workers that are 55 years old that have put 35 years into working, and bankruptcies happen, and all these stuff, and life is unfair. But what we said was when you turn 65, there's going to be guaranteed health care for you.
Yeah.
That's the least we could offer you as the wealthiest nation on the planet. Maybe it does need tweaks. Of course it does. I mean, we got to change with the times. But there's a guaranteed benefit there. They get rid of that. They give you a voucher. They want to call it premium support. But it goes up 2 to 3% a year. Now, healthcare costs don't go up 2 to 3%
no,
a year.
No, they don't.
They go up 5 to 10% a year. So you're going to have to come out of pocket. So this auto worker who had to do shelf agreements and take a hit to keep the factory open, now has got to come out of pocket for their own Medicare. And if you have a parent or grandparent, in their instance a parent, in a nursing home that is funded by the Medicaid program, Paul Ryan has $800 billion in cuts to the Medicaid program.
Right.
So now this same auto worker who's been having stagnant wages, is lucky to be eat, sleep, and jeep, now has to pay for out of pocket for their own Medicare and help with their parents be in a nursing home because the Medicaid budget got cut. Now, that is a middle-class squeeze and a half.
Yeah, we're out of time, unfortunately.
Congress great to be Jim with
Ryan,
you.
This was great. It went by way too fast.
We'll come back.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the convention.
Take care. You too.
You're listening to a Best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
What a great media picture it made. Mitt Romney was at an Ohio rally, standing at a lectern with his white shirt sleeves rolled up in that common guy style he often adopts. The best visual, though, was a great-looking group of coal miners in overalls, work shirts, and hard hats gathered behind him. A sign on the lectern declared, "Coal Country Stands with Mitt." Well, actually, it's coal executives who really stand with Mitt, rich guys in suits. In fact, the miners in the photo seemed downright sour, frowning at the Republican as if they didn't really want to be there. It turns out they didn't. The sorry truth is that they were compelled by the corporate honchos of Murray Energy to be props at Romney's staged PR event. Yet, in twisted language that would make Orwell cringe, a Murray official later told WWVA Radio that while attendance at the Romney event was mandatory, no one was forced to attend. Huh? Okay, Murray didn't use cattle prods to herd them to the rally, but it did make workers pre-register to attend, and it was clear that anyone who did not sign up risked getting fired. That explains their glumness, but here's why so many miners practically glowered at the multimillionaire candidate. They were being docked a day's pay for the event. Yes, not only were workers compelled to be backdrops for a politician most don't support, but they were also forced to contribute their paychecks, money that Murray simply pocketed, presumably using some of it to finance Romney's hokey rally. Well, sniffed a top Murray boss condescendingly, the event, quote, was in the best interest of anyone that's related to the coal industry, so workers should have been happy to donate a day's pay. This is Jim Hightower saying that's a cold corporate attitude that would cause Romney, the pain from Bain, to smile warmly.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage.
Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
You're listening to a Best of First Shift with Tony Truppiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
And it's an honor, ladies and gentlemen, to welcome to the program Congressman Elijah Cummings. He represents Maryland's 7th Congressional District. And, Congressman, it's an honor to have you on the show today. I would imagine today you're especially proud of your governor, who gave an amazing speech last night.
Yeah, Governor O'Malley was outstanding, and he's been a great governor, too, by the way. Even in these difficult times, he's found a way to, of course, keep our budget balanced and at the same time do for schools, do for business, and basically has run our state in a very efficient and effective manner and has not been doing all this super cutting that the Republicans are trying to do on the national level.
In fact, I had Governor O'Malley on my program last week. We had a very frank conversation about bipartisanship that,
yes,
of course, he has had to work very hard with the other side of the aisle. But he has not found it difficult because there are reasonable people in the
in
the Maryland legislature that understand that progress means we have to work together.
Before I came to the Congress 16 years ago, I was number two in the Maryland House of Delegates for 14 years. And, yeah, we have much more cooperative spirit than we have here on the federal level. Let me tell you something, Tony. When you have a situation where you've got people saying, Republicans saying, my way or the highway, and saying they refuse to compromise, that's absolutely crazy. It makes no sense. I've said to my Republican colleagues, by the way, if you don't want to compromise, you shouldn't be in this. I mean, there's no way you're going to have people coming from 435 districts and not come to some type of compromise. And so, he knows how to do that. He's done it well. I wish the president had the same opportunity, although our president has reached out. I can tell you, these guys have basically said, you know, we want to get rid of you, before he was even sworn in.
Yeah.
And they have done everything in their power to make sure that he's not reelected.
Yes, they have. And there's no question talk about leadership or the lack thereof. John Boehner certainly needs to wear a great deal of that problem. Not only has he not shown leadership, he's shown that he can't control his own party. It is so fractured. The Republican Party is really in search of an identity. They're certainly not the party of old. There is no party of new. Again, they are so fractured, Congressman, that I don't believe they know who they are right now. But all that does is create a stalling of what we can now see is progress in this country.
That's right. Let me tell you something. I believe deep in my heart that if we just had a little bit of cooperation from the Republicans, the unemployment rate would be probably about 6.5 right now. They have done everything in their power. And I get a chance to see it up front and personal. As the ranking member of the Oversight Committee, I have to deal with Darrell Issa on a daily basis. and I see what they make all of these crazy and vicious allegations against the president and the cabinet, and then they go out searching for the facts. And most of the time, there's nothing there. And then the administration, of course, spends hours upon hours, days upon days, going through emails and, you know, get these subpoenas, because our committee has the power to subpoena, going through, and they have to search documents, emails, whatever, to because these folks are on a fishing expedition, and I think this thing is fast and furious. With Eric Holder is a perfect example of that.
Absolutely.
So, you know, people will say the president has not accomplished a lot. First of all, let me make it clear. The president has achieved more in his 3 years and 8 months than most presidents achieve in 8 years. And he's done it against maximum opposition. No cooperation from the Republicans. That says a lot. And I'm convinced that Barack Obama is a great president.
My guest is Congressman Elijah Cummings of Maryland. I say on this program a lot, and it's been a bit controversial, but I'll say it to you.
Okay.
I believe that Barack Obama, especially if he is reelected, but even in his 4 years, will be remembered. History will remember him as one of the greatest presidents this country has ever known.
Mm-hmm.
If reelected, then he has, of course, a different kind of courage and bravado. It's a second term. He doesn't have to worry about certain things he's got to worry about now. History will certainly remember him as the greatest president we've ever had. I think the problem is there are too many white American males that are prejudiced against a black man being that accomplished in this country. And I think it's a fundamental truth of this Republican Party. They fight him on everything when there's absolutely no reason to do it.
As a matter of fact, as you well know, many of the ideas that he has put forth to them were their own ideas. Keep in mind,
the Affordable Care Act.
That's exactly right. This was a Heritage Foundation idea, by the way. And come on now. And he's done that over and over again. You know, there was a time, I also sit on the Transportation Committee. There was a time that we could pass our transportation bill every 6 years, and no controversy. I don't care. It could be a Republican chairman or a Democratic chairman. It just, you know, everybody worked together. We got it done. This year, it was hell. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. Why? Because they wanted him not to look good. Anything that was going to create some jobs and help the unemployment rate go down, they were not interested in. And I got to tell you, it pains me. It really does. I can't for the life of me. If I've got people who have no insurance, say, for example, like in Texas, where you got 25-30% of the people with no insurance.
Right.
How do you say, I'm not going to go along and try to at least do something to get them insured, And so, you make I'm not going to make the same argument you just made, but you do have to wonder, what is this all about? As I listened to Michelle Obama last night, I whispered to my wife, I said, you know what? This election should be a no-brainer. But it's not. And keep in mind, the way Romney has won, how he won the primaries, he won the primaries with money and beating up on his opponents. He didn't have to say much of what he was going to do. But there's something else that I really worry about. As a 62-year-old man with three kids, I wonder whether I'm going to be able, when I die, whether I will be able to pass on a better democracy than the one that was on around during my lifetime. I mean, let me tell you something. With Citizens United, people spending a few hundred people can spend millions of dollars, almost $1 billion, to basically control over 300 million people. And gone now is the day when the janitor had equal power as the head of the corporation. That used to be election day. They had that one, each one of them had a vote. That's
right.
Changing. Another thing that we should all be upset about, I don't care whether you're a Republican, Democrat, or whatever, this thing about going against people, trying to stop people from voting, all of America should be upset about that. I mean, that because, again, the vote is the foundation of our democracy. And last but not least, let me just say this. the Republicans say they want the votes of Hispanics, they want the votes of African Americans. How can you want my vote and expect me to vote for you when you're trying to take away my vote?
Well, and that's exactly what they're trying to do in Ohio and Florida.
Right.
They tried to do it in Michigan.
Right, Pennsylvania, you go on and on and on.
And the courts are disagreeing with them. And that's another, we have never had more challenges to legal challenges to legislation than in this Congress.
Right, that's right, that's right. We've got a situation now where they basically, the Republicans have said to themselves, we will win this election by any means necessary. Even if we have to tell untruths. Even if we have to stop people from voting, even if we have to draw lines in redistricting that are simply unfair, we will do it by any means necessary. And if people want that kind of government, a government that is unfair, a government that is untrue, we've got a major, major problem. That's why this election is so important.
Well, you know, Congressman, not only are they saying it, they're saying it out loud.
Right,
that's
right.
If that doesn't scare people, I don't know what will.
So the question becomes, if you can take away people's rights, think about this. If you can take away people's right to vote, which is basically what they're trying to do, where does it stop? Does there come a point in time, hypothetically, when people say, well, when you're 70 years old, we think you might not be in your right mental state, so let's cut voting off for people at 70. I mean, I'm telling you, a lot of times we hear these right-wing ideas, and we say, oh, no, that'll never happen. But think about what almost happened in Virginia, where they were saying to a woman who was going to have an abortion that you got to have a vaginal, something inserted vaginally.
Ultrasound.
Right, ultrasound. And then they say, we don't want government to be in people's business. Hello? You can't get any more in people's business than that.
Well, we have less than a minute left. Last night represented what to you?
It was a great day because what Michelle Obama said, she talked, what she did was something that I have rarely seen anybody done. What she did, she talked about her pain, she and her husband's pain. She talked about how that was turned into passion and then how that was turned into purpose and then how that was turned into their mission.
Well, I'm proud.
Oh, I'm very proud.
Congressman Elijah Cummings, thank you for your leadership.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, ladies and gentlemen.
Wish we had more time.
I do, too. You are amazing.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift,
Pastor Reverend D. Alexander Bullock.
If we're organized, then we can push the elected officials to represent the people, to make sure that resources are expanded and spread throughout the region in a way that is equitable and helpful for all people. We should have no child left behind, no community left behind. We should not have a race to the bottom, but there should be a floor for the poor and indeed a roof for the rich.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Truffiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Joining us now is the international president of the American Federation of Teachers, Randy Weingarten. I feel like I know you. I can't begin to tell you how much I enjoyed the convention. I was fortunate enough to talk to people from all over the country. The first book program I have fallen in love with, and I'm adopting it. We're actually going to help them find donations and raise money. It's something that this program has committed to doing. We are starting this fall a Teacher of the Month program.
Fantastic.
Where we have a teacher store that's going to be donating a gift certificate to the teachers. We're going to give them a month of maid service and a couple nights out to dinner to show our appreciation for teachers. Randy, as you
so
know,
they can take a really important breather after working,
you know, if
18 hours a day, which is what teachers do these days.
Absolutely. And one of the biggest, you know, one of the biggest challenges nationally, and you know this in the state of Michigan, one of the biggest challenges nationally is these Republican legislatures have gone after teachers in ways that are unconscionable. With the sacrifices they make. I mean, we talk about one of the only professions that out of your own pocket are you required to continue to recertify yourself, to continue to educate yourself. And not only that, they're taking money out of their pocket to buy Kleenex and toilet paper and pens and pencils. You know, it makes no sense to me. And I say unconscionable. It's unconscionable
it
what
unconscionable.
This legislature has done.
It is. What's happened in this country... basically driven by this political need by the Republican Party to try to defang any sources of power that the Democrats have. Think about it. All of this push on voter suppression. What is that about? That is about trying to make ineligible people they think are going to vote for Barack Obama. And the second piece is why the relentless attack on labor unions and on teacher unions in particular, because they think that is the base of the Democratic Party. But what makes it unconscionable is that at the very same time they're doing that, they are cutting the investment in education. And so to cover that up, they are denigrating school teachers. Now, does it mean that we shouldn't be doing a better job? Of course, we're not going to be satisfied until 100% of our kids actually get to their God-given potential. So that is our standard. But to actually denigrate the very people who you're asking to do more with less, who are actually subsidizing education by taking money out of their own pockets to actually feed their kids in their classrooms, to actually pay for materials, and to actually and to not get the support, it is unconscionable. It is the way in which a country The way in which a country helps its kids is by supporting its teachers, by investing in its schools and its kids and its communities, and the Republicans are doing the opposite.
You know, Andrew, I've got to tell you, I find it interesting.
Sorry, I get very frustrated.
You don't need to apologize on this show. You know, I often make this connection. Congress recently holds a symposium on women's issues and doesn't invite women. Congress talks about education issues but doesn't invite teachers. There's a real disconnect here where you're not inviting the very people that are on the front lines. You really don't care to reform whatever you feel needs to be reformed.
Well, when you see a person like Chris Christie on the stage of the RNC, or you see a person like Jeb Bush, who's very focused on how to make money off of schools through the online technologies that he's promoting, what they basically are saying is that teachers should be seen and not heard. So the people who are really close to kids, who are asking, who are putting responsibility on their shoulders to help children, what they're saying is, you just do what we tell you to do, and we don't want to hear what you have to say about what it takes to do it. I mean, think about what Romney did. He's the first thing out of the box. He said, we don't need to lower class size. He said, we can fire teachers. And what's his strategy? It's an opt-out strategy. So give some people some vouchers, even though we have years of experience that show that vouchers don't work to help all kids succeed. It's opting out of public schools rather than fixing our public schools, turning them around, making them hubs of community, and supporting the teachers who want to actually help kids succeed.
You know, one of the greatest disgraces in this country is an organization you know all too well, K-12 Incorporated. They are unethical. They are immoral. They are profitable, probably one of the most profitable corporations in the country right now, and they continue to grow with the blessing of the Republican Party. And certainly in the state of Michigan, we have just passed legislation that expands charter schools, that expands cyber schools. The big joke on the show is, you know, do you belong to the cyber school choir? Do you belong to the cyber school football team? You know, there's realities, Randy, that we can't ignore. Without my public education, I wouldn't be here today.
Well, let me say this. There are things that I know we've done wrong in the past. We have focused on, you know, fairness, which is what the labor movement has to focus on, how we empower people to do better for themselves, how we make sure that they're treated fairly. But our union is now as fixated on quality as it is on fairness. Because what we need to do is we need to help all teachers be the best that they can. And if they can't do it after we've helped them, they shouldn't be teachers. Having said that, and having said that we know that that matters, everything else that the Republicans have tried to do in Michigan is dead wrong. What they've tried to do is they've cut the budgets for regular public schools. They've cut the funding for individual kids, kids who really need that opportunity. And what they've done is they've invested instead in these online cyber schools that are totally disconnected to kids and have no track record. Kids need the engagement with other people. They need the engagement with adults and other kids.
Absolutely. It was interesting. I was at a staff meeting not long ago to speak, and there was a gentleman that stood up, was an art teacher, a first-year art teacher. Of course, they are now making teachers pay an extraordinary percentage of their health care. After he takes out everything that comes out of his check, that $35,000 a year he makes is actually $21,000 a year in take-home pay. This is a man with a master's degree. That school district should be ashamed of themselves.
Well, this is the priorities. This is what's happened with, in this post-recession environment that we're in states that have newly elected, since 2010, Republican governors. It's talk the talk about education, but don't walk the walk. What you're seeing is the lack of investment in children covered up by demonizing and scapegoating and caricaturing their teachers.
Well, we have the right leader to fight this fight for the AFT. Thank you so much. We're just out of time. Randy,
it
was a real pleasure to meet you.
Thank you, Tony.
That will wrap it up for now on the Best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Remember, we're always interacting on Facebook on the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page. Add a like, tell a friend, grow the community today. Also on Twitter at Tony Trupiano, TonyTrupiano. And, of course, email if you still use it. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone still uses email. Tony@thetonyshow.org. Thanks to everyone who appreciates and supports the show. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Jeff Radford, and I hope you enjoyed this hour of the show. Now, stay tuned for the latest news brought to you by NBC News.
This is an urgent message for all individuals with extremely large credit card debt. No matter how much you owe on your credit cards, the company that has settled more debt than anyone in the U.S. could settle your debt too. While you make one low monthly program payment, you have the opportunity to hear how low your monthly program payment could be for free. This free information is available now simply by calling Freedom Debt Relief at 1-800-900-5538. I repeat, if you have extremely large credit card debt, you now have the ability to reduce your total debt and get one simple low monthly program payment. This could allow you to resolve your debt faster than you ever thought possible. But you should act quickly. Call Freedom Debt Relief now to learn how much you could save. 1-800-900-5538. Again, this life-changing information is available for free. To find out how much you may be able to save, call today. 1-800-900-5538. That's 1-800-900-5538. 1-800-900-5538.
Justice. Is justice really blind? Is justice worth dying for? Worth fighting for? Justice is coming to you. Two men, one woman. The human rights perspective. Fighting for justice. Every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Right here on 1310 a.m. WDTW.
If you're in business and still don't have a website, you're missing out on thousands of potential customers that can help your business grow. Let the professionals at DWP Music Services connect your business to the World Wide Web. They can design anything from a simple one-page site to a full-blown e-commerce marketplace. It's time to take your business into the 21st century. Call DWP Music Services for a free consultation. 248-545-6612. That's 248-545-6612.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano.